please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape. It's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. I'm turning into a character. Welcome into the program, episode 36D of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. We welcome you in here on what is a Thursday in Los Angeles, California. The rain came, the rain left. Tornado. There was a tornado.
What?
Out in Paso Robles? No, it was not Paso Robles. There was a tornado somewhere.
Oh, that's crazy.
Where was the tornado? There was a tornado that, and then they were sending some weather nerds out there. Those were not, that's not my word. That's what I read. Mm-hmm. To investigate, to confirm that the damage would have been caused by a tornado, because this area does not get tornadoes. But it was reported as a tornado, and then they're going to send weather nerds out there to look at the destruction to see was it in fact a tornado, because they can tell based on the damage what caused it.
Yeah.
Pico Rivera.
Pico Rivera, which is, that's your name when you go to the clubs, is it not, Matt?
That's right. That's what they call me when I get out on stage, my Speedo and my bow tie.
Please welcome Pico Rivera. Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you know where that's at, Pico Rivera?
No idea.
Not for $1 million. Couldn't tell you.
I grew up here, and I can't tell you.
I want to say it's east near San Bernardino, like, but I'm 90% sure I'm wrong.
If you take the 10, maybe.
That's my guess.
Total shot in the dark for me.
It could also be down near Anaheim. Yeah. I have no clue where it's at.
It could be up, or like, who knows, like up the 15.
It's an hour from here.
Okay. Is it? Okay, so it could also be near Oceanside.
It's near Downey and Whittier and that area.
So Inland Empire, kind of.
Yeah. It's over there.
Montebello.
But Downey's not an hour away, is it? Downey's only... Downey's like right there.
I'm looking at a map, and I don't know if I would call it... Well, let's see. It's near Knott's Berry Farm.
Huh.
Oh, so it is close to Anaheim.
It's close
So it's not as in... I was picturing it being more inland.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, it's down there.
It's south of us. Yeah. Southeast.
Southeast, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's near Knott's Berry Farm. You go down there. You know what I get when I go down there?
Portillo's.
I get a berry farm.
Oh.
Not a farm. I get a berry. God pie. Damn it. Pie. Couldn't. Jesus, I tried three times to do that sentence.
I admit I...
Because your answer was accurate.
I threw a wrench into it, but with a genuine answer.
With fact. I do go to Portillo's. I've not been down there since my wife and son were in New York, and I was able to go down there on my own and have a delicious sandwich and eat it sadly at my table. That's not a good solo place. There are places I don't mind eating anywhere solo. That's the truth. I don't mind it. But something about Portillo's where there's that long line of people. You've never been in there. There's a long line. There's a long line to order your food, and then there's a lot of people waiting to get their food. Mm. And so, like, there's always somebody next to your table, whether they're waiting to order or they're waiting for their food. So when you're alone, you're just kind of sitting there. With people hovering over you,
right?
You don't have conversation to distract.
Right.
You're just there.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's not a good. And there is an outdoor patio, but on the day I went, it was not. That was not weather friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good way to put that? Yeah,
I think we all understood what you meant.
Mm-hmm. Understood what I meant. But maybe I gotta get down there. Although I'm going to Chicago soon in April. The what day am I there? The 16th, 15th. When am I in Chicago?
Something like that.
At the Rosemont, April
11th,
April 14th,
April 29th.
I'm there the Wednesday, right?
Hold on. I got it. April 2nd?
April 16th. So I will get a beef sandwich that day. Okay. And not at Portillo's. I will go to a local. I will go to a Nicky's, or I'll go to a Johnny's, or some other, some other place.
Why don't you go to the beef?
You mean Mr. Beef?
Is that what it's called? I forget. Is that the name of the show, the place on the beef?
On the bear.
On the bear.
On the bear. It's called the beef.
It was called, I forget what it was called.
I think it was the beef.
But Mr. Beef is the one that Jay Leno doesn't shut up about. That's his favorite, and it's fine.
Wait, so the place on the Bear was the Beef, and then they, and then when he reopened it, did he call it the Bear?
It's called the Bear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm fine if that show doesn't come back.
I didn't even watch season three because I don't know. I watched one. I was like, you know what? Life's too short.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you. It's, I'm good. I'm good.
I like season two, but
I did too.
Irma finds the show too stressful to watch.
Well, yeah, sure,
I get it.
And sure. So I haven't really been able to find a slot to catch up with.
Because she never leaves.
I mean, actually, she'll go and she'll listen to a podcast or whatever, and she's perfectly happy when she's doing that. And I could watch something else.
Not negate
matter.
What I said. She never leaves.
She doesn't like to go outside.
That's what I'm saying.
She prefers it the inside. She says she's an indoor cat, which is the least original thing she's ever said. But
could we agree that you? That seems
what a weird.
Why is she getting critiqued?
Cutting Irma down.
Yeah, she's not a professional writer.
I was anticipating you're making a face.
No, so, yeah. No. God forbid we do say anything negative about Irma. You'll go crazy.
Yeah.
And by the way, rightfully so. That's why you need a 2-bedroom. You need a place with. Yeah, you gotta.
But it's not in the cards for now. So
you got to stay where you're at.
Yeah. But I mean, if she goes up in the loft and she's listening to her podcast, it's almost like we're in two different places.
Refresh my memory. There is a 2-bedroom in your building,
but somebody's living there.
Right. But there's talk of you kicking them out. You like finding a reason?
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. They're fine tenants. There's no, I see no reason to inconvenience them.
He's certainly not going to admit it into an open microphone.
Of course.
It's probably illegal.
That. But the other thing is like there's some tenants who, you know, they've been around, they've been a couple, they've been in the apartment for a while, and then they decide to have kids. And so then they would, you know, it's happened many times where they're like, we need another room, but they have a 2-bedroom. So if they decide to have kids, I don't see them moving.
Yeah, they're not moving.
Yeah, they got a good price. It's a decent apartment, you know.
Mm-hmm. With the renovations have really improved that place.
Oh, yeah.
The place was a fucking...
Look, that place was awful. The shingles on the outside of that building were an eyesore.
Yeah, those are not good shingles.
No, they needed to go.
You got the shingle shot, right? The vaccine?
Yeah.
It was building sized.
Remember, that's like... You got to get two.
Yeah. Siri, don't forget the second
one.
I believe measles you could get two as well. When you're a child, I think you got to get that in a double dip.
There's a double, yeah.
I don't know if I need the measles vaccine.
I don't really want to ask. Well, you can ask. There's a test they can do.
Okay.
Like I said, I was born in that little window.
You knew you needed it because of the year you were born.
Yeah.
I'm not in that.
Also, you might want to just get it. You know, it can't hurt you to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I say RFK might have a different.
I still need to get the shingles one, which I was supposed to do.
Oh, that you got to get
last summer.
That you have to get.
Yeah, you're not gonna. Garen, I think, can attribute attest to the you want the vaccine.
Yeah, everyone has built it up to this horrible thing. I'm like, all right, I got to find a window. I should have done it at that time. I don't know, like during winter, like Christmas break when we had a few days off, so I could. No, I didn't have to come back in here and be wiped out.
Right.
It does. It is for me the first one.
Thanks.
For me, the first one was the one that really knocked me on my ass.
Yeah.
The second one was not great, but I was fine.
I just got the Hep B as well, and that's a two-parter. That's a 30-day apart thing, and I didn't know I needed it.
I just got the Hep Cat, which is just a pork pie hat that you put on.
And then you wear it again 30 days later.
Yeah.
And then you're made fun of a second time, and you never wear it again.
Was it an indoor Hep Cat?
Oh, Christ.
It's all about Irma.
Yeah. I mean, can you blame me?
You mean again?
Yeah. Because enough's
enough. It's not called the Irma podcast.
Yeah, Garen's sick of it. Garen is sick of hearing about Irma.
I'm sorry, Garen.
You know what? Talk about what you want to talk about, Elliot.
Thank you, Garen.
That's not what you say to me privately.
What's the key word of that sentence?
That's not. Oh no! Of course, I'm kidding. I will say this. I don't know. I don't know if Garen and I have had full sentences outside of this room. It's been forever since you and I have had a private conversation. Like a we're at a restaurant and we talk like nothing.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's time for one?
Well,
time for a talk.
The time that talk happens, it's not going to be comfortable for one of us. But it's going to be uncomfortable for both of us. But one of us walks away without a job. Although we have to do that trivia with the fans soon. The person that did it for Smile Train. We have to do that. And again, that was only trivia with Garen, but we are welcome to show up and do that. And
especially if it's near my house.
And who is it? It's somebody Pam? we know, right?
TV Pam is how I know her. So I'm guessing it's Pam.
Yes, but yeah, okay. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. If we do it at your place where the food sucks?
I don't know. You guys tell me.
There's that one in Burbank that has good food.
Yeah.
Which one?
That's Bruce Brothers.
No, I'm thinking about the one that Cole Stratton hosts.
Oh, I forget where that is.
Oh, what's that called? The Inkwell? Yeah.
They have good mac and cheese at the Inkwell.
Yeah, that's on Tuesday nights. They're all on Tuesday nights for some reason.
No, the Bruce Brothers is Sunday nights.
Oh, Sunday nights at George's, huh? No.
In the park?
No.
That's good food. Bruce Brothers has good food.
Yeah, I'm in.
It's definitely a microbrewery.
I gotta have food with my trivia.
Oh, the Jazz Club.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I do miss the Simsies menu, I gotta be honest.
Simsies.
But I do also like Bruce Brothers.
Great. As long as I can eat while I'm answering questions, I don't have to just sit there and make conversation with Garen. I can have something in my mouth at all times. So
what's a good trivia food for you, Jimmy? You're having trivia?
I'll have a sandwich. I'll share some nachos with you.
Sure.
I'm probably going to have a dessert because, again, I have to eat the entire time that we're playing trivia. Mm-hmm. I'm an animal who can't stop. I will have an – I might even be talking to you. You want to get poppers as an appetizer?
What about a sampler, app sampler?
Sure.
Yeah, with some mozzarella cheese maybe in there.
I like a mozzarella cheese.
Yeah, spinach artichoke dip.
I will not do that, but I understand.
Oh, you don't like a spinach
people
artichoke.
Enjoy it.
So good.
I will also, if you want to have potato skins.
Sure.
If that's part of the sample.
What do they do with the rest of the potato?
They throw it at you.
They go back to the 80s where that joke worked.
Yes. Is that the least offensive thing that Irma's ever said?
That's the least offensive thing that Irma's ever heard.
Yeah. Well, luckily she's never heard it.
Yeah.
She never heard it. She won't hear it. She's not a subscriber to this program.
She has access. My understanding is that she doesn't really take that much advantage of it. But.
Well, of course not. Why would she? She lives with you.
Yeah, that's right. But she does listen to the live episodes usually.
Yeah, that's fun. Although my wife listens to the show, as does yours.
Yeah.
That's how they learn about us.
We don't speak to them directly.
Yeah.
By the way, honey, can you pick up some milk? I'm assuming we'll need milk.
Elliot got a nice charge out of
it. I like that.
He laughed and threw his head back.
Yep.
As if he was doing a commercial audition for laughing.
By the way, laughing. Try it.
For reasons I cannot explain, the other day I was editing the show and I was in the multi-track recording of an episode, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go through here and I'm gonna take out all of Elliot's laughs, isolated, just his track. So it's you don't hear anything but him laughing, and I'm just gonna string them all together into a one file. And it tickled me. So I sent it to him.
Yeah, and it tickled me as well.
And you enjoyed it as well.
And I played it for Irma, and she also enjoyed it.
Enough with fucking Irma. Garen's sick of it.
Actually, since I texted it to him, I can pull it up here, and I can play it.
You guys all right, so this is nothing but him laughing.
Yep.
From one episode.
It's not all of the laughs. That would be way too long.
I understand.
And this is I'm going to say a selection of laughs.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
It's already tickling.
That's my favorite
I
one.
Ended on that one.
You enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Good for you. That was you know what? That tickled me as well. That was a joy.
It's fun. It's fun.
That was a joy. We do it for Garen, but he doesn't laugh. You just hear clicking of a keyboard. Here's Garen laughing.
It's just funny how what the variety of laughs is kind of amazing to me. Like there's so many flavors.
And there wasn't a single wheeze.
Yeah, you've shaken the wheeze.
The wheeze is,
it seems like it's gone.
Yeah, I heard myself do a wheeze laugh sometime in the last 2 weeks. And I was like,
are you eating healthier?
Yeah.
Getting more fluids?
Sure.
Is that what? Why do you do? Is it? Are you intentionally trying not to do the wheeze?
Because no,
because it is gone.
I don't think no, but
what?
Huh?
What are you answering now?
I'm not sure anymore.
He's saying he doesn't think he has done it consciously.
Yeah. I think there may have been a point maybe a year ago where I did,
mm-hmm.
but then since then, no.
I forgot the question.
Yeah, me too.
What's up with Irma?
She's no, Jimmy.
Oh, I'm kidding. She likes beef.
I love beef. I had a delicious, I ate right near your house the other day. I went to the, I can never pronounce it, Matt. It's by the, it's right across from the Gary Marshall. It's the organic Mexican. Takaya.
Takaya. Yeah, I, that's right next to the Mendocino Farms, which if I'm there, I'm going Mendo every time. I love Mendo, and my family disagrees with me, so I have to go solo.
Can we get you to stop saying I go Mendo?
Yeah.
Nope.
You know what? I'm with them. I think there's one decent sandwich, and the rest of it is a swing and a miss.
I like a lot of – well, I tend to get the same thing because I like it so much, but I feel like you can make it a salad. You can make it a sandwich. Sometimes I get it on a wrap. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I like that, but it's the – the two that I like are, there's the one that's like a Peruvian steak sandwich, which is really good. And then there's another one, I forget what it's called, but it's got like a bacon marmalade in it or something. It's another beef.
That's the one I get, yeah. Whatever that one is.
Oh, it's like a, what's that Argentinian steak preparation style?
Chimichurri? Is that?
Yeah, it's a chimichurri steak sandwich with like some bacon.
I don't know if that's what I get then. You lost me.
Sorry.
Well, that's not where I went, because I had lunch with a friend of the show, Kyle Secor.
Oh yeah,
and we met there, and I had never been there, and it was delicious.
Yeah,
delicious. I ran into somebody that I worked with at Conan, who I had not seen in minimum 10 years, and I one of those things where I was thrilled that I pulled his name as quickly as I did. You know, like when you see somebody out of context,
yeah,
and then it's been a decade, mm-hmm. and so it was like, hey Jimmy, I'm like, hey Adam, and boom, right to it.
Nice.
And it was good to see it. He nice guy. I ended up writing over on the Ellen program.
Yeah.
He left Conan to go right over on the Ellen program.
How'd that work out?
I believe he got her canceled. No, I don't think he had anything to do with that. I think he would still be working there, as our friend Brian Kiley would be as well.
Yeah,
because they just like writing jokes.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a good gig based on other people's experiences.
That part of it aside, it's a steady job with the. I assume a good paycheck.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a job that would last forever, and I'm sure they all felt that way until it suddenly was gone. But
I mean, let's take out the fact that she is a horrible human being, Ellen DeGeneres, and that she's not pleasant and that she's hard to work with and for. That show had a good run. Mm-hmm. Like even if she would have said, I'm leaving, I'm done. I've done this. It's been, you know, I'm going out on a high. Nobody's mad at me. Like if none of that happened, it still would have been like, yeah, that's a good run for that show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it's reasonable. Oprah lasted way longer than I think. Like the show, Oprah lasted longer than it probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
But like Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen, that's about like me get 10 years. That's really good.
I think it's good.
I mean,
wasn't Ellen like 20 years? Wasn't that on
19 seasons?
How many?
Jesus Christ.
19.
19. She couldn't make the 20 because everybody hated her.
How long was that Rosie show on? Because I feel like there were.
That's about 10 years, I'd say.
You know, there's like an ebb and a flow to it where it's like there's a new audience and they don't connect with this person. They need a new, but they need Jennifer Hudson or they need Kelly Clarkson.
How weird is it that three American Idol people have talk shows?
Huh. It's pretty weird.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Who's the third?
Who's the second?
Kelly Clarkson.
Who's the first?
Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, right.
But there's a third.
Is there Carrie Underwood? Does she have a talk show?
She's on American Idol now.
Yeah.
6 seasons for Rosie.
That's it.
Oh, wow.
Wait, who's the other one that has a talk? Is it? I mean, Kelly Pillar had one for a minute. But I swear to God, there's a
Catherine
third
McPhee
one.
Catherine McPhee Foster?
It's not. She's too busy sitting on a piano singing with her husband.
Did you realize, are you aware of this, that Smash, the TV show you loved?
Yes.
Now there is a Broadway show the show within the show.
There's a Broadway show of the show they were mounting.
Of the Marilyn Monroe show.
Yes.
That is now just opened on Broadway.
Yeah, that is called Are they calling it Smash?
I think it's called Smash. Are you interested in seeing that?
I'll see it if it comes here. I'm not going to fly to New York to see it.
It's ridiculous. It would be a ridiculous thing to do, but I do regret not watching that TV show. And I've had moments where I thought, I'm going to go back and watch it. But I don't really want to, but I do want to. I want to have watched
it. It's not good, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So I can't recommend it.
No, I know.
But I loved it.
But I think I would get a kick out of the way I got a kick out of Nashville, which is just kind of, it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. And you get the line of... Hun, you have to. It's Joe DiMaggio.
Anyway,
the fucking horrible line.
So in the stupid Broadway subreddit I lurk in on Reddit, I saw that someone was like, hey, I just saw Catherine McPhee at the opening night of not Smash, but Boop, the Betty Boop musical.
Oh,
so like the same night, they both had their premieres the same night.
And the same night? That seems like one
or
too
maybe
many.
It's I don't know, maybe it's the opening week, and there's, you know how they do those thing where it's like this is the opening night, but this is also the opening night, like they
the soft opener than the yeah, whatever the shit.
They'll even have like two. I don't know why they, I guess they,
why is she in New York? Come back to your husband. Poor David's wandering around a comedy club for no reason. Still doesn't know why he's there, but boy are we glad he came.
They must have a place in New York, right?
Yes, he's got a place in every city.
Got a zillion dollars.
That guy, you know, he made the joke on stage that night when I asked the question of why he and Cetera seem to have bonded.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he then, when Cetera left, why did he stay with Chicago and then not with Cetera? And his response, very
diplomatically,
well, I got a number one song out of with Peter. Never answered the question.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is because they probably hated each other, because Peter Cetera, if I understand, is hard to work with.
Mm.
But he mentioned that one. But then he also co-wrote Hard to Say I'm Sorry, which was mm-hmm. number one hit. So just those two songs alone, Hard to Say I'm Sorry and Glory of Love, which were two smash hits, could buy him 900 houses.
Yeah.
Like just those mm-hmm. two songs, and then add everything else David Foster has done.
You're the inspiration. I mean, maybe the biggest of all.
No.
No?
No, no, no.
Well, it looms large in my memory.
No, that only went to number three.
Oh, Jesus.
And
what the hell was ahead of it? That's crazy.
Probably Prince and Madonna.
Yeah.
That would be my guess of what kept that out of the of number one, because that should have been number one.
Yeah. It just feels like, I know this is a different metric altogether, but I feel like I hear You're the Inspiration more than I hear Hard to Say I'm Sorry.
Without a doubt.
Today. Like,
yes, they play it much more.
Yeah. And Glory Love, I think, would come in second in that if I was trying to rank what gets played the most these days.
They play that one. I heard that one yesterday on the Rodeo. And then they also play Hard Habit to Break a lot.
Yeah. But he wrote that too?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Yeah, okay.
No, but he did co-write You're the Inspiration and Hard to Say I'm Sorry and Glory of Love. And Stay the Night. There was
The Macarena?
That's it.
That's you co-wrote that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, that's that alone buys you a mansion.
That's another mansion, yeah. I mean, a billionaire? Is he a billionaire?
Nah. He might be, but not from...
Selena Gomez is.
Yeah, but that's from owning a makeup company.
Yeah, but...
Not from her music.
Certainly not. And certainly not from her acting. Good Christ, is she horrible. What's the other huge hit David Foster wrote? There's another. Was Celine? Did he co-write a Celine Dion?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
You know, he was very much part of that. And I apologize for using it. He was very much a leader of the yacht rock world,
mm-hmm.
and then he moved on.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very much part of that West Coast Lee Ritenour, Bill Champlin,
yeah.
you know, Jay Graydon world. That the yacht rock guys all seem to love, and I love unironically. But then I think he went to Celine Dion or
Karen.
What's his biggest hit?
I actually was thinking of a Max Martin Celine Dion. I was thinking of That's the Way It Is. I think that's Max Martin.
I mean, he's got dozens and dozens. Like, I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. He does have Celine Dion. One of them was The Color of My Love. That was in 93. Be the Man.
Mm hmm.
In 97? I don't know
those
that
don't
song.
Ring a bell.
I don't know those songs at all. Ends with.
Let me just see Celine.
Did he write a Cher hit, maybe?
No, I don't think so.
Huh. Seems like someone he would have worked with, doesn't it?
Listen to Me? Do you know that one?
I don't.
It's unreleased.
I don't.
Love by Another Name, Love Lights the World, The Prayer, he wrote that.
Will you do me a favor and name a song I know?
You know, The Prayer.
Are these just all songs from anybody that he wrote, or are you still like Celine Dion?
It's a list of all David Foster okay. songs. So I'm going through Celine Dion. Tell Him.
How do we shuffle those by relevance and popularity?
How do we shuffle them by the biggest David Foster
hit?
Yeah,
that's the question.
They're not listed by that.
But how can we get that list? Is there a way for you to find that list?
I can look up.
Maybe David Foster number ones or David Foster top 10.
How about that?
Top 10?
Yeah, let's go top 10.
You think top 10? I like number ones.
There's apparently an album called The Best of Celine Dion and David Foster.
Wow.
That's very specific.
So I guess they worked together at least 10 times.
10 songs.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It could be.
It's just a hypothesis.
I would imagine there's 10.
I mean, maybe that's an EP.
I was always pissed off when first Peter Cetera solo, the second Peter Cetera solo album, the one with the Gloria Love on it, there's only 8 songs. Nine songs. Five on one side, 4 on the other. Hmm. And it's like, you couldn't find one more?
Yeah. I mean, most people feel like obligated to at least get to 10, right?
I would.
Even if it's just nonsense filler.
And it's your first I Left Chicago, Here I Am album.
Yeah.
You can't find a 10th song?
Are all 9 really good? I was going to say, if they're really good, then you go, look, we got 9 great songs. We're not going to try to.
Ask me again.
Are they all?
And you know I'm the biggest fan. You know that.
I know you. That's what that means something.
Yeah, I would say 7. I like 7. Mm-hmm. Others may like 0. Others may like 9. I don't know. Garen, have you found David Foster's number ones?
I was looking at Billboard, but it only gives me his songs, not the songs he
like. Songs he.
Oh, you mean like your love theme from St. Elmo's Fire? That sort of.
Yeah, there was only 3.
That's not going to help us at all. That's not what we're doing here at all.
No. Mm-hmm. They were all in that.
Frankly, it's 80s. Embarrassing. You don't know this information, Jimmy. This is the kind of thing I expect you to know off the top of your head.
I know a lot of things, and I know. Here's the truth. I know that you're right. I know all this. I just can't tell it to you because my memory doesn't. I'm not Darren Carter. It's a callback to our last episode. Happy to do it.
Sure.
He's the party starter.
Are you looking for songs that he wrote or produced?
Either. But
I would think everything he produced, he co-wrote.
Well, that's
right?
Not
for the most part.
True.
Really?
At least not according to this. So this particular album has Power of Love, which he, as far as I can tell, did not write.
He did not write that, but he did that. Now that's Celine Dion.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's a good song. Laura Branigan also did that song, and as did Michael Bolton, I believe.
Yeah. I'm just doing Celine Dion in this list here.
Oh, okay. Come on, man. We made it clear to shake this loose and just David Foster number ones.
All by myself.
A cover of that, the Eric Carmen song?
Yeah.
Eric Carmen has passed away.
She does a lot of covers.
Yeah.
David Foster produced that?
Yes.
Okay.
When I Fall in Love.
Mm-hmm.
The Color of My Love, which he wrote.
Which he mentioned. Garen mentioned that one.
What a Wonderful World.
Yeah.
Because You Love Me.
Mm-hmm.
The Prayer, which was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
To Love You More, did that come up?
Yeah.
It did. Tell Him, All the Way, I Surrender. Oh, boy, there's a lot of songs on here. There's 17.
Yeah.
So they just made an album together. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish them a lot of luck. Okay. Garen, did you find David Foster number ones yet?
Is that, no.
It's not coming up. It's not help. It's not
very...
I believe it.
Google gave me a top songs from Apple Music.
Okay.
These might also just be David Foster.
Let's find.
Okay, The Best of Me.
The Best of Me is that Vanessa Williams?
From 86. Was she doing music in 86?
No, that's not her. Well, yeah, that... Wait,
could have been.
Is that when I met her?
Talk to you later.
See you soon.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Vanessa.
That is Olivia Newton-John and... David Foster.
Oh, you know what? I apologize. I have to take this call.
Thank God.
All right. Sorry about that. That was a phone call from a no surprise, a doctor. That was one of my doctors. I've got a skin thing going on right here. You could say, Matt, very nicely, as if I was one of his children. He put a Band-Aid on for me because it's a weird little spot behind my ear that you got to put a Band-Aid almost from 12 to 6.
Yeah.
Like straight up and down behind the ear so that it doesn't hit any hair. but yet covers where there's something going on with my skin. It's not cancerous. There's nothing. A weird little abrasion.
Yeah.
And so the doctor asked me to send photographs. I sent photographs. I will say this, that he is not concerned, but his voice sounded different. It sounded like his words were not matching his timbre. Mm-hmm. And he will see me on Monday at 8:30 in the morning, which we could all agree is too early.
Sure.
And I may have jury duty, which I'll find out Friday night, mm-hmm. which will adjust that. Yeah. And as we've talked about in the last couple episodes ago, the best case scenario is that I get called in for a day and get cut loose, mm-hmm. or they put me on a case that is only 2 days long.
Yeah,
that'd be...
Which would be fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even... I'll say this. I wouldn't even mind 3 days. I wouldn't mind a three... As long as it doesn't interfere with this,
mm-hmm. right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
If it's all of a sudden I'm on the OJ trial, I think we all feel that way.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a way you could work it out where you can, like, report from the scene.
Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah.
I know everybody hates jury duty. They want to get out of it. I don't want to get out of it. I just don't want to be there for a week and a half.
If there was some way in which in our world you got paid, let's say, your full daily salary or whatever to go do jury duty, and then when you went back to work, nothing, nobody was mad at you.
Right.
Yeah.
I think jury duty is interesting.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
We have weird jobs where it's like we all have to be available at the same time for a few hours. And it's like if one of us can't be here, if it's Garen, who cares?
But Matt, he's back.
Oh, shit. Oh, hey, Garen.
Hey,
Garen,
man. Hey, what's the word, buddy?
I didn't have my headphones on.
What? We're just having fun. I just was talking about the jury duty and the doctor.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting.
Which is the morning zoo show. Jury duty and the doctor.
Garen, we were just talking about David Foster songs.
Oh, great.
Did you guys finally find a list?
Well,
of some sort?
I found a list that it seems like one of those things that is AI generated. So who knows if it's even correct?
All right, throw it at me.
But I'm just going to rattle some off for you. It's not ranked. It's not about top 10. It's just these are just I just Googled best songs written by David Foster.
Okay.
And this is what nice. This is the first thing that came up.
OK,
She's a Beauty by The Tubes.
He did co-write that and produce it.
It's a great song.
That is a great song.
Fee
Wable.
Wable. The Prayer.
Who co-writes most recently, he and Richard Marx are collaborators.
Yeah. The Prayer, an Andrea Bocelli song from 2006.
Uh-huh.
I Have Nothing, the Whitney Houston hit.
All right.
That was a big one. You'll See, Madonna. It's one of her many ballads that bore me. I think she put out a whole album of ballads, and that might have been on that.
I don't know that song.
Which one?
You'll See.
You'll See?
You'll See. Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. I think that's on that.
Something to Remember, I think, is that album?
Yeah. It was like right at the height of the mid-90s, kind of. I don't know if you'd call it a comeback, but it was like she was killing it.
She's been here for years, Matt.
This is completely off topic, but bringing up Madonna made me think of Lady Gaga on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. and to contrast her with the woman that was on the week prior. What's that woman's name?
Tate McRae.
Tate McRae. Mm-hmm. When you have Tate McRae on 1 week and Lady Gaga the next, holy shit, do you see the difference in somebody that is amazingly talented and somebody that is not?
And by the way, Gaga was committed to they were going all around the whole studio and everything.
It's always
she was
thing with
great her. As the musical guest, and she was great as the host.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a lot of funny sketches.
I was thinking of as Hot Topic Scarlett Johansson. That's how I saw her. I didn't intend it to be an insult. It's just like
no, it's not an insult.
Yeah,
I hear what you're getting at. Yeah. How did Irma respond to that?
She wasn't in the room for it.
Good for her. She had headphones on in the loft.
Yeah.
All right, quickly, go down the rest of this David Foster list.
Some of these we've already heard mentioned. Sandmall's Fire, After the Love Is Gone, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, he co-wrote that with Bill Champlin and I want to say the aforementioned Jay Graydon.
Hold Me Till the Morning, Paul Anka.
That's a duet between Paul Anka and Peter Cetera.
Yeah. You're the Inspiration, Through the Fire by Chaka Khan.
Through the Fire! Dude, that's a great song.
I Burn for You, Nancy Shanks.
That's a good song.
Oh, yeah, Bill Withers. Don't know it.
Mm. Through the Fire.
Only You, it's Chicago.
That's a great song off Chicago.
Oh, another
17.
Tube song, Talk to You Later. So he co-wrote their two biggest songs.
Yeah.
I love that song. I'm Alive by Neil Diamond.
That's a great song.
Look What You've Done, blank, dot, 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 Boz Scaggs. I don't know.
Love, Look What You've Done to Me.
Who's Holding Donna Now by DeBarge? Wow.
That's a good song. Is it?
I don't know, but it's funny fine. That he worked with the barge. It's kind of interesting.
He may not have worked with it. He may have just written the song and then they chose it.
It's The Falling in Love from Michael Jackson, Off the Wall. Stay the Night, another Chicago song.
Went to number 16 on the chart.
You're welcome. Got to Be Real by Cheryl Lynn. That didn't know he was involved with that. Mm-mm. It's like a disco song, basically, right? A dance song.
I don't know.
To Be Real. Isn't that song? Or am I thinking something else?
I don't know.
Got to Be Real.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. My One True Friend by Bette Midler.
That's a good song.
I Can Wait Forever by Air Supply. I don't know that one.
No, neither.
There, we're really kind of going. They're becoming less and less recognizable as yeah. I go down this list. Yeah.
Well, you didn't even mention Hard to Say I'm Sorry. Was that on the list?
No. Weird.
Well, that went to number one. That's 1980.
That's Chicago, right?
1982. That's yeah. exactly right, Garen. 1982.
Save Me by Peter Cetera.
That was the theme song for what? For season one. This is a fun piece of trivia.
Okay.
And then we'll take a break. That was the theme song for season one of what TV show? It's called Save Me.
Oh.
Think about it.
I know. Yeah. I think I know.
What is it?
What's his bud who calls people asshole? Is he the star of it?
Nope.
House.
Oh.
Is it
Smallville?
Nope.
I was going to guess like it's got to be like an ambulance show, like Rescue 911.
You're getting closer.
ER?
No.
No, they had that weird instrumental thing the whole time.
But don't you save me.
Okay, that's a different song than the Save Me I was thinking yeah. of.
Is it from the 90s? Like,
I don't remember when this show premiered. Okay. But yeah, no, late 80s.
Late 80s.
Oh,
late
80s. Okay, that's definitely what I'm thinking of.
Well, it's not Chicago Hope.
No, late
that's
80s.
90s.
And it is, it's a show.
Saying Elsewhere?
That is all, it's just like, it's evergreen. It is it's a show that is referenced, it'll be referenced for the end, till the end of time.
Is it a medical drama?
No.
Is it a superhero thing?
No.
Okay.
It's a 1 hour show though?
Yes.
Like a drama, a scripted drama.
Yes.
Okay.
Ellie Law?
No. Ask me if it's good.
Is it good?
No.
but it gets referenced all the time.
Yes, but not positively.
Were there famous people on it?
Uh huh.
Like people who are still doing it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, one is.
Okay.
One was just nominated for an Oscar.
Oh.
A woman?
Yes.
A woman who was just nominated for an Oscar.
On a TV show.
Who was just nominated for an Oscar other than the lady, the Argentinian lady, and then the lady from Amelia Perez?
It doesn't have to be Best Actress. It could be.
It is.
It is Best Actress.
Mm-hmm.
So you got your Demi Moore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not her.
It was not her.
Okay.
It's not the young lady because she's too young.
Not Mikey.
No, it's correct.
And it's not the one you were just saying because
it's not the Argentinian lady. It's not the Amelia Perez.
Who
lady.
Are we missing?
You're missing the one, and maybe I'm wrong.
But the hell are we missing?
The hell was the
you're missing the one.
Ah,
I'll give you the initials.
Sure.
PA.
Paula Abdul.
That's her. PA.
Huh?
Pamela
Anderson.
Pamela.
Anderson. Oh, it was. It's the.
Oh, Baywatch.
Baywatch. Yeah.
Jesus.
Save Me. Lifeguard.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Why don't you save me?
Was she nominated for an Oscar?
Wasn't she?
No,
wasn't she nominated?
She was in the mix.
She was in the mix.
Wasn't she nominated for the Last Showgirl?
No, she was nominated maybe for a Golden Globe.
My apologies.
Or a SAG Award, but not the Oscar.
My apologies. Well, she was nominated for a trophy.
She was definitely.
That's not the problem with the fucking. You're guessing, Garen. It was Baywatch.
Who was the fifth nominee?
Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
And for Baywatch. Also,
and then there's Fernanda Torres and Carla Sofia Gascon. Did you say her?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Amelia Perez. Perez. Yeah.
And then Jimmy Jameson, a song by Jimmy Jameson, took over because, according to Peter Cetera, they did not want to pay him enough money to continue. Right.
That's fine. That makes sense. And then they had that song that I think became the famous one, just the ticka 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 ticka, you know, when you see them running in slow-mo.
And you know why they had the slow motion scenes? I just found this out last week.
To pad
pad the episodes because they were too short.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I didn't know that.
The episodes are too short, so they made the scene slow motion to pad them out. Brilliant.
And that's why people loved it.
One of my teachers worked at Fremantle during that show. He was part of it. I think he produced it or something.
Yeah, it's unwatchable.
Good story.
We'll be back.
Hey gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Ron Placone is on Instagram at Ron Placone, exactly where you expect him to be. Also, he has his own website, ronplacone.com. That's where you can find out more about the movie he made. Left at Wall sounds really fun. You can find it on a bunch of different video on demand services. So all the main ones, I'm sure, Amazon and YouTube, all that stuff. So check it out, or just go to his website and you'll get more info on that and on his podcast. So you can find all of stuff about Ron over there. Jimmy Pardo can be found at Flappers in Burbank on April 12th. He's doing the Yoo-Hoo Room on the 12th, and then he's hitting the road. It's going to be at Zany's in Rosemont on the 16th of April, the Comedy Attic in Bloomington on the 17th of April, the Jukebox in Peoria on the 18th of April. And then in May, it's May 7th is the Bug in Denver. May 8th is the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase in Michigan. May 9th is the Hashtag Comedy Theater in Columbus. And then May 28th, Plano, Texas. May 29th, Austin, Texas. May 30th, Salt Lake City. And more immediately, we are doing our quarterly game night for Tier 3 and higher subscribers on March 25th. That's coming up real soon as you hear this. So 6 p.m. Pacific time on March 25th. If you're Tier 3 or higher, go to our website and you'll find the link to join us in the Zoom room and we'll play some fun game. We don't know which one yet, but it will be fun. I guarantee you that because it always is. So do that and enjoy.
Hey, buddy, welcome to the program. 36D is the episode number. Letter. Mm-hmm. Letter. I know my letters and my numbers. I'm familiar with them both. Letters start with A and numbers start with 1. Then you can go as high as you want to on either.
Hey, A, B, C, D, F, U.
Ah. Ron Placone is here. Ron's got a new... Ron, what are we promoting? A movie? A special? You told me and I've lost interest.
No worries, man.
My memory sucks. I literally just looked at my phone so that I could say, like a professional host, Ron Placone is here. He's promoting blah. And then we started talking about cold pizza, and then my brain has gone to mush.
Cold pizza is always the detractor. I get it, man.
Are you promoting pizza?
I wish. I wish I had those skills.
You're an Italian guy. Why don't you open up an Italian restaurant?
Because I'm not confident enough in my culinary prowess, honestly.
Really?
I mean, I am a dedicated hobbyist, but I've only flexed my muscles making pie a couple times, and I'm not super confident.
What's your specialty? If I'm coming over to your house and you say, you know, I want to make you a nice Italian dinner, come over, we'll hang out. What would you make?
So my signature that I'm kind of proud of is it's a peas and prosciutto, where it's linguine is the pasta I like to use. And it's a cream-based sauce, so kind of Alfredo adjacent, and I do peas and prosciutto. I can make a vegan version if you're not a meat eater, and on Christmas Eve I do a fish version with smoked salmon instead of prosciutto.
Whoa. Okay, let's pretend I don't want any of that. Let's go with a fourth idea. What would the fourth thing be?
Like any of that?
That all sounded great.
What do you like to eat?
I like. I'm not a big linguine guy.
Okay. All right. I could do penne. Would you prefer penne?
I'm back on. All right. So go penne.
All right. I can do penne. It's not a problem.
Okay. I'm back.
So I would do that with penne.
But I may like a vodka sauce. I may like a. Maybe a bolognese over what you've just described, although what you described sounds delicious.
Then I would do, I mean, honestly, if you're more a bolognese guy, I would just go bolognese. But I like to do ground meat and ground sausage when I do a bolognese.
I'm listening.
I like to mix them.
Yes.
And then I would probably go rigatoni, unless you're opposed to rigatoni.
I don't love rigatoni. I would like the penne, but I will go, I'll accept a rigatoni. Would you give me a side of meatballs or the Italian sausage, or would there be any sort of meat as long, or is the bolognese doing the heavy lifting?
The bolognese is going to do the heavy lifting, because the way I make it, that's all you need. But there'd be a salad.
I like salad.
There'd be some greens. There'd be some Aperol spritzes. There might be some homemade limoncello or melancello, which is a bit of a heavier lift. But my wife and I got into both, so we do both. And then that'd be about it. A dessert, I'm not a big making dessert guy, so I'd probably just buy some cannoli from my favorite spot and say, hey, these are cannoli from my favorite spot in Southern California. What do you think?
And I would say I love them. That's what I would say.
You'd love these.
Trust now, let me tell you something, Ron. I don't know their schedule, but I know mine. Throw us some dates.
Seriously.
And we're in.
I would love that. Yeah.
This conversation's hungry.
I like...
What part of town do you live in?
So I live in San Pedro, which is, ironically enough, Little Italy.
Wait, that's down south? South?
Yeah, South Bay. I wound up there a couple years ago. My wife got a job in the area. We were in Pasadena, but my wife got a job in the area, so we went out to the South Bay, and we ended up staying. She has since got a different gig, but
you're still down there.
Yeah, I like it out there, man. Dude, it's near the water.
I get it.
Cool restaurants, cool bar scene, cool music scene. You got to drive a bit for stand up, but that's the case anywhere, depending on where you're at. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've gotten used to it out there, and I like it. I love going to the beach, which I get to do every day. And
you go to the beach every day?
I go to the beach every day.
Do you surf, or you just splash around, or just walk on it?
I usually just walk on it, but I do. I mean, every blue moon, I'll surf some. I need to get more into it, and I do like to swim, and I got a wetsuit. So yeah. I mean, I make the most of it year round, but usually I'm just a pedestrian.
Pardon my ignorance on this. Is the water warmer down there, or is it pretty similar to like what it would be at Zuma or Malibu?
I think it's about the same. Yeah. I think that the Pacific is the Pacific, cold, right? Like, it's just cold year-round. It's funny. You'll see some people in Pedro where they will make it out like the water is really warm. And you kind of listen to them and you're going, I don't know what planet you're living on. There's no way that the water is... There's this one guy who lives down the street. He's an interesting dude because he is... this stereotypical Southern California surfer guy and a really nice guy, but for whatever reason, big Trump guy. The Trump stuff all over his freaking house. And I never bring that up with him. Whenever it's in passing, we just say hello. It's just cordial. But he was going on about how warm the water is. And it kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, oh, how are the waves? And he goes, yeah, man, don't even need a wetsuit. And this was like... October, which October can be hot, but this was like late October, and he was going, oh yeah, the water was up to it. And I forget the exact degree he said, but there's no way the water had ever been that. And he goes, yeah, that's how warm the water is. And I'm just listening to him, and I'm looking at his Trump side. I'm like, man, you guys really do hate facts. There is no way the water was ever close to that.
Yeah, his judgment isn't great to begin with. Now, you live in you said Pedro.
Yeah.
There's always an article in the LA Times or somewhere where they send a reporter down there for a fun story. Is it San Pedro or San Pedro? They always send some reporter down there to interview locals. You land on Pedro.
I land on Pedro, which is pretty much the local consensus, which I got used to when I moved there, because nobody will say San Pedro who lives there.
Right.
And some people will even correct you. So the story behind that is... San Pedro is home of the harbor. Like, that's the LA harbor. So for years and years and years, you had people from all over the world, I guess you still do, that worked on the harbor. So a lot of people from Italy, a lot of people from Croatia, a lot of people from South America, just all over the world. And many different languages were spoken. So the legend is everybody started saying San Pedro just so that would break language barriers, so people knew you were referring to going home. Hmm. And it became like a neighborhood tradition. But I once got a letter sent to my P.O. box from somebody correcting me for the way I said my neighborhood. All this information I just gave is very easy to Google, by the way. But some dude, nonetheless, sent me a letter.
An anonymous letter.
Yeah, well, he signed it. I guess it wasn't totally anonymous, but it was a guy named Charlie who lived in Colorado. And he goes, Ron, I'm pretty sure it's pronounced San Pedro. And he spelled it phonetically for me, P-A-Y-D-O. My brain is very tiny. I would not have picked up on this. And he goes, please fix yourself.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. And fixed was italicized.
My God.
And he wrote a letter and mailed it. It wasn't even just an email.
No, wasn't it?
He wants you to know.
He found an address, a physical address that he could mail something to.
Jesus.
And you live there, so maybe you might know a little bit more than the Mile High guy.
Wait, he heard you on a podcast saying it, or what?
I guess he just heard me online talking about San Pedro, and he sent me this letter. I don't know why. I'm thinking all the time you spent doing this, why didn't you
just look
Google?
Yeah.
Is there a reason people say San Pedro?
Right.
Because he had to have realized I wasn't the first one.
Did you write him back, or did you just ignore it?
No, I didn't write him back.
I wouldn't either.
If it would have been an email, I would have emailed him back.
Yeah.
And just been like, hey, I would have sent him some links.
Yeah.
Be like, here you go.
Here you go. Take a look at this.
Go ahead and read that.
Charlie.
Charlie from Colorado.
Ugh.
But
I dislike this guy.
Mind your business, Colorado.
Mind your business. And then fix yourself.
Fix yourself.
How about you go fuck yourself? How about that, Chuck? Chuck Bobuck. We're back to that guy. Maybe that's the guy that called us that time.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Placonis. And Ron, again, my memory stinks. Then we got this, I got distracted by Italian meals. What? There's a movie out?
Yeah, to make a long answer longer, yeah. Jimmy, I'm here to promote my movie.
And the movie is called?
Left at Wall.
And that means what?
So the title, it's a parody kind of about the whole GameStop thing that happened.
Okay.
It's loosely inspired by that. The story is totally fictional. But when that happened in 2021, I thought, oh man, this is hilarious. Somebody needs to make a movie about this. So I wrote the script. Our trailer was up by August of 2021. I just financed the trailer myself. And it took us a while to finally get the movie to the finish line. But we finished it unofficially in 2023 because it premiered at the San Pedro International Film Festival. Then we did screenings.
If I may, I think it's Pedro, but go ahead. Go ahead. I'm still listening. I just wanted to correct you.
Thanks, Charlie. and then we did screenings and festivals throughout 2024. And
oh, great.
It's officially out for distribution. It was about a little over a month ago. It was January 24th. So yeah, Left at Wall. You can get it on Apple TV. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on YouTube. You can buy the DVD, which I was real excited. When the distributor said, we're doing DVDs, I said, I'm nervous I'm not going to sell any, but okay, because yeah. I don't know anyone. I mean, I don't have a way to play it. But
we've got one guy who loves it.
You're into it? People are still into it. I got, when I was posting about that, a bunch of people started telling me, well, I'm buying the DVD. I want to, like, people yeah. still collect that, which
people
I
like
think is great.
Yeah.
There is an argument
fantastic.
To be made, you know, in the increasingly corporate and, frankly, exploitative way that things are distributed now, that to own an actual thing that no one can take away from you and you can watch it whenever you want. Like, if you just rely on Netflix or whatever to have the thing you want, it's maybe not going to be there. Maybe the price goes up. Maybe whatever. A lot of things happen. But having the actual physical thing means you always can watch it as long as you have a working piece of technology to play it.
Totally. Well, and I also caught myself as I was thinking this. Like, I was thinking, who buys DVDs? Does anyone buy DVDs anymore? And then I backed up a little bit and I was like, dude, you still collect vinyl.
Yeah.
Of course people are still into DVDs.
Right. We need to get a little bit, I think a few years from now, when it'll seem more retro to have a DVD, then they'll really start picking up because people are like, oh yeah, it's cool. It's like my parents used to watch these.
It's going
to
be hip. Yeah. I mean, vinyl is still in rotation and cassettes are cool.
Yeah, cassettes are cool
so
again.
So VHS is kind of, and then laser discs are cool, but in fairness, laser discs are really cool. I would love to have my movie on laser discs. I don't think that'll ever happen.
I don't think it'll happen either.
No, that's not those are so cool.
Are they?
I like them a lot. I love watching a movie on laser discs.
Like does it look different?
I think it does. I think it just, you feel like you're at a drive-in and they just look cool to me.
Interesting. I can't tell you the last time. I could tell you that I was at Brian Hildebrand's house in the 80s. That's the last time I saw one on laser disc.
I didn't like having to flip it over, or some of them would play both sides, but then a lot of movies you had to put a second disc in, like if it was longer. That's not fun. Like, that's just interrupting the flow of the story.
Yeah, you get a bathroom break, maybe get a snack. They're doing you a favor.
I mean, that's fine if it's The Brutalist, but like if I'm watching something that's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, I want to just start to finish. Let's
hang
just rip through.
Well, that's still a long movie. 220 is still a...
Yeah, but you should be able to watch that in one sitting. I know your bladder doesn't handle that.
I like to get a snack, too. I got no problem flipping
you can get the snack
desk.
At the beginning. Just have it on hand.
Yeah.
I made it clear earlier, I'm an animal, and I will want to eat throughout the entire motion picture.
You're the guy who somehow manages to not eat popcorn before, like during the trailers, which I finish the popcorn before.
No,
the
sir.
Trailers.
No, sir.
I can't. I'm the animal.
I don't start it until the movie starts.
I mean, I don't know how.
Oh,
you,
that's discipline. How
I don't
do
know how you
that?
Do it.
I
yeah.
don't know either how I do it, and then I eat it as if it's a contest to get it done. But I wait. I wait. Oh, good. The movie. I get all excited. I put the napkins on my lap so it doesn't get my pants dirty. And then I
you put
eat
your
it.
Dick through the bottom.
Yes.
It's a whole ritual.
For depending on the movie.
The stranger next to me. You want a little bit? Ron Placone is here. He's got the movie Left at Center. And what's that called? That? Left at Wall.
Left at Wall.
Yeah. And now, Ron, I apologize for this. We're on vacation next week. And so I don't want this... box to I don't know if there's perishables in this box.
Yeah,
I have to open up some mail.
The mail is here. I'm excited to know what it is.
It might be something for you to partake in as well. Sometimes they send it up for the guests to be involved.
Up top, my brother.
The mail is Here's the original. Here it comes. Garen sucks. That's the original. That's where it started, Garen. You remember that?
Yeah.
Then it became part of every song.
Yes, it did.
All right, this comes to us. It says right here on the label, it comes to us from Don Leslie.
Okay. That's two first names.
Yeah. Don. Yeah, Don Leslie. I had to put my glasses on.
Is that a first name or is it like a title? Like,
or is it
Don Leslie?
It could be. We got an Italian guy here. It could be
a mob boss.
Mob boss.
Could also be a couple, Don and Leslie.
Oh, yep.
First of all, look at that beautiful writing.
Oh, that is nice penmanship.
Boy, that looks like one of those auto pens.
It does. Dear Jimmy, Matt, Elliot, and Garen, and guest. I added that part. I am sending all of you a thank you gift, not only for the countless hours of fun and entertainment you've provided me over the years, but also for Elliot's assistance with a recent request.
Oh.
While everyone knows Buffalo for its chicken wings, we have other culinary delights that originated from our city. Ooh. One of these is sponge candy, a unique chocolate-covered confection that was invented at a candy shop near my home. Enjoy.
Oh, my God.
Your instincts were correct.
So my instincts were right here, yeah. Thanks for making my commutes, dog walks, and household chores so much more entertaining than they would have been on their own. Don from Buffalo. Yeah, that's it.
Well done, Don from Buffalo. Don.
Here we go. One last request.
Charlie, if you're listening, take a note from Don.
All right, here you go.
Wow.
I'm scared.
Well, we got to try it.
Yeah.
We got to try. What was this called? Sponge candy or something?
Sponge candy.
Chocolate sponge candy.
And it's from Buffalo. Go ahead and open that, Matt. This is Watson's Famous Milk and Dark Chocolate. I want a milk chocolate one.
And I want dark.
All right. Well, let's just open up one package.
Sure.
Here you go, Ron.
Go ahead.
Really big.
Dig in on that, Ron. Okay. They call this sponge candy. I'm not 100% sure why I'm last on this. I opened the box.
You had it to me.
I know, but I didn't know you were going to hand it to Ron.
Just dump one out for me.
I don't know if that's easy to do. Oh. There's dust in there.
I need a milk chocolate one, guys. I'm the guy that, if I left...
Wasn't the texture I was expecting for sponge, huh?
No, me neither. It's airy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't know... It feels dry. Is it a dry candy?
It's very dry.
Yeah,
like a sponge. like a
dry sponge.
Like a dry sponge.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. On the inside, it does kind of look like a dried out sponge. Like when it's time to replace.
I thought it was gonna be like a marshmallow, but that's marshmallow. That's not sponge. That's marshmallow. So that's my mistake.
I'm getting mostly just chocolate.
I mean, it's very good. The chocolate is very rich and delicious.
This is Watson's.
And then the inside. Almost has like a honeycomb flavor to it.
Yeah, and right? Then it kind of melts away.
Yeah, but it's like airy and it's almost like an edible. What are those
sponge
stones that are like are very porous?
Yeah.
What is that called? Sponge.
What are those called?
Pumice.
Pumice. Yeah.
Cumis. Pumice.
Yeah, it's like an edible pumice stone.
Anyway,
doesn't sound like
they're good,
but it is.
It's really good.
Yeah,
that's good. Thank you, Don Leslie.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
All right, there we go. So
happy to have helped.
My instincts were right. That was.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Mm-mm. You helped this guy.
You helped this guy, I mean, and then we got chocolate.
Not to reduce words. I help a lot of people to the info email.
Good for you, Pope John Elliott.
If the guy's a Don, he probably can't.
That's true. It's top secret.
He can't get into the weeds on this.
Omerta prevents him from.
I'm closing that drawer. Doesn't need to be open for this. Ron, you mentioned your wife. How long have you been married?
5 years, about a week ago.
Oh,
actually.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
happy anniversary.
No kids.
No kids. A
couple of young kids down there yourselves, down in Pedro, right?
Yeah.
You're on the beach to get away from her bullshit.
Okay. We like being aunts and uncles. That's enough for us. I have a niece and a nephew. Yeah. They're super cool. I like that. That suits me just fine. But we have a cat.
What's the kitty cat's name?
Lucy. She'll be 19 in a few months.
Oh, whoa.
I've had her for a long time. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
She is the coolest.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, she is the coolest.
My mom's cat's name was Lucy as well because my mom liked coming home and saying, Lucy, I'm home. And then when we thought that my son, when we didn't know the gender of the child, Lucy was on the table as a name. If it was a girl, oh, I like the name Lucy. And then my mom got the cat and said, I got a new cat. I called her Lucy. Like, well, we can't name our kid Lucy now. Which we didn't because it was a boy. But
it's my roommate named her, actually. It was, I mean, because this goes back to college. She just ran into our house one day.
Wait, what?
Oh. Yeah. She just, and here, she's a black cat. It was October.
Oh, my God.
And she just ran into our house and said, I'm living here.
Yeah,
and
we safety said, first.
Okay.
Good for you guys. And you kept a little Lucy, and you've kept it for 19 years.
Yep.
Love
she's,
it.
She's lived in a lot of different places, that cat. If cats could appreciate such a thing, she'd be on board.
And where was the college?
I went to Indiana University.
In Bloomington?
Yeah. I was before the club was there.
Before comedy. Yeah. So when Bear's Place was the place to go see comedy.
Bear's Place is the first place I ever did stand-up.
It was.
And it was a guest spot. I didn't even know how stand-up worked, to tell you the truth, but I did a guest spot at Bear's Place.
Do you remember who the headliner was?
Yes. Who? I remember who the headliner and the feature was.
Who were they?
So it was Greg Morton. The guy who does all the Star Wars voices.
He does, and he does a lot of impressions, and he was on America's Got Talent a couple of years ago and was very close to winning.
Yeah, he's hilarious, incredibly talented dude.
Bob and Tom's favorite.
Yeah, super nice guy.
Really nice guy.
And then the feature and...
Give me the initials.
A-H.
A-H. Because I...
Alexander Hamilton.
Nailed it.
Back from the dead.
A-H. I'm not going to pull it. Who is it?
I think you know him. Andy Hendrickson?
I don't.
You know Andy? Okay.
If I do.
He's here. He's a very funny dude. And
has he been on this show? Okay. I mean, what do I know?
But he lives here now.
Yeah, he lives in LA. And it's funny. I've seen him around a good bit. And we've run into each other over the year. Like, we ran into each other at a NACA conference many years later. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't remember our friend.
Of course.
I kind of hope he does. So he was the feature act. And I had no idea how any of this worked. I didn't know that you were supposed to write material. I'm not kidding.
Oh, you just went up and talked?
Yeah. I thought that I literally was about to graduate, or I had just graduated, and I wanted to do radio. And I read this article that said, if you want to get into radio, doing stand-up comedy is a good idea. And so there was no comedy scene at the time. Like, that didn't exist in Bloomington. There is one now, and apparently it's really good.
Yeah, it is.
But there wasn't one then. You know, this was a little while ago. And so I got a hold of Comedy Caravan. That was the booking agency that took care of Bear's Place.
Yep.
And ended up working for them a good bit over the years. But I had no idea what anything was. But I told the guy, yeah, I'm a stand-up. And he gave me a guest set. And so I go, it was terrible. I had no idea. I didn't know I was supposed to write material. I didn't know. I'd played in bands a little bit just as a hobbyist. I didn't know you were supposed to even hold the mic differently. So I'm holding the mic as if I'm singing music.
Right.
And so there was all kinds of feedback. I didn't even know it. It was terrible. I feel bad for anyone that witnessed those 4 minutes. I mean, it was awful. And I'm talking to Andy Hendrickson after, and I go, hey, do you have any tips? And he goes, yeah, it might be a good idea to write jokes next time.
Oh,
and I go, oh, thanks, man. I honestly didn't. I was just like, oh, that's a good start. And I literally have in my notebook, write jokes. And I underlined it. Yeah. And I had long hair, a bunch of piercings. So I'm pretty sure when he saw me years later, he wouldn't have even recognized me. But I wonder if he remembers that meeting. I don't run into him often, but occasionally if I see him around, I'm like, do you remember the kid who didn't write any jokes in the Sonic Youth t-shirt an amount of years ago that neither of us need to mention, but a while ago, you know?
Well, we know it's at least 19. That cat was involved.
Yes.
When you worked, you said quite a bit for Comedy Caravan, did you deal with Tom or Chip Sobel?
I dealt with Tom.
Tom, who since passed away.
Yeah.
His brother Chip, I'm sure you know, is a conservative whack job.
I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his family.
He's on a comedy news group on Facebook where he will say, I don't want to get political, and then gets political. and then if you say anything back to him, I said I didn't want to get political. It's like, you started. You started this. And you started it from a weird, anti-vax point of view. And then, you know, comedy should be an open tent for everybody. But here's this. Well, don't you think this, Chip? I don't want to get political. It's fucking, he's out of his mind. And he'll tell you how he and his brother ran comedy better than anybody else in the country. And I'm appreciative of the work that they gave me back in the day. Chip, go pound fucking salt.
I mean, this is wild. I honestly, I didn't even know he had a brother. I never dealt with his brother.
Did you deal with Julie? Was the big person of the office there for a while?
I think I got some emails from her before. Yeah, and then Adam was the guy who was working with him.
That might have been after my time.
Okay,
dealing
all right.
with them.
Yeah,
but I when I started, I did a lot of work for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Chicago, I would drive down there. Bernie Lubbers got me a guest set at the Comedy Caravan, and then Tom was kind enough to give me a bunch of work. The last time I saw Tom. Was at the Comedy Caravan, and I got a standing ovation, and he came over and he went, hey, I just want to give you a couple notes. And I went, Tom, I just got a standing ovation. Good to see you again. I walked away. It's like, I'm not going to take fucking notes. What do you say? You know, it's, I don't get a standing ovation every night. I certainly don't need...
Well, I'll take his notes. Maybe you will.
Maybe I will. That said, he was a good guy. When I started, he was one of the few club people that did give decent notes. He knew when I would hear when he gave some to me, would give some to other comics. I would be like, hey, you know what, Tom kind of gets it. So I'm not dismissing him entirely, and I'm not speaking illy of the dead. But on that night, shut up.
Well, and Tom, I mean, and hey, you know, rest in peace, great guy. But a couple notes, that would have been 4 hours of your night.
Yes,
guy could talk.
He could talk.
You'd get him on the phone, and he would tell his big line was, how are you doing, Tom? Well, Rod, I'm busier than a shortstop trying to make a double play. And then he'd talk to you for 2.5 hours.
Yes, he would.
Before addressing why you called and giving you a couple dates.
I went golfing with Tom Sobel once. That was his big thing. I want to take it to my country club. It's nice. You got to wear a collar. And then it was me and Dan Greeter and... somebody else. Oh, the guy with the whip. Who's the guy? Robert York, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Robert York, he had a whip.
Yeah, he whips the banana, right?
I don't know. I just know comedy wasn't involved. Okay. That much. I do know it was happening in a comedy club, and because where else would a guy with a whip perform? So the four of us are golfing, and it's York and Tom Sobel are in one golf cart, and I'm in the other. Golf carts, by the way, are a lot like these electric Teslas.
Just slower.
And it was me and Dan in the other cart. And Dan's on the other side of the green. So we all putt out. And Dan's on the other side of the green, and it's going on and on. It's Tom's talking to Dan on the other side. It's going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And he finally gets back in the golf cart, and I go, what was all that about? And he goes, oh, Tom was showing me how to get out of the sand trap. I said, you weren't in the sand trap. He goes, I know! He told him how to get out of a sand trap for 15 fucking minutes, and he wasn't in it!
For future reference.
That's Tom. Again, he's dead now, and... we wish him a lot of luck, as we do all corpses. Ron Plakonis. Now, Ron, where did you grow up? You went to school in Indiana. Where'd you grow up?
Grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Is your family still back there?
My family is still back there. And my parents are there. My sister and brother-in-law are there. I got a new niece and nephew there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And your comedy leans very progressively political. Your family is in Pennsylvania, which is a very divided state. Mm-hmm. Your family is, how do you get along with your family, is my polite way of putting it.
We get along pretty well. My family is, I'm a pretty big lefty, you know, like not like anti-capitalist lefty.
But you're lefty in the sense of, because a lot of, and I'm only interrupting to say this.
No,
a lot of our friends have called themselves lefty, but they're really right wing whack jobs now. You're sincerely lefty.
True lefty.
Okay.
Pro-labor, socialist, pro-LGBTQ, pro-labor rights, pro-human rights, anti-war, anti-corruption, see the system for what it is. That's why I made a movie critiquing the Wall Street system through the backdrop of the GameStop incident. Okay. But yeah, so that's who I am, you know?
That's who you are, and your family is?
They're well-meaning liberals.
Liberal.
Yeah. They're liberal. So it's like we don't agree on everything strategically and stuff like that. But, my dad's a professor. My mom, well, he's retired now, but my dad's a retired professor. My mom worked in the psychology department. So, family of academics. And yeah, we get along pretty good.
All right. Well, I mean, but at least you're not going home and they're adjusting their red hat.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, and usually it's like we're pretty much in the same. We're always in the same sphere. Yeah, you know what I mean. Like it's
you agree on facts at least.
we agree on facts. We agree on principles. We don't always agree on strategy. We don't always agree on the details. I was very disappointed with John Fetterman before they were.
I disagree. I think he's doing great things. What a fucking disappointment that guy is.
They're disappointed now. So. Okay. Yeah.
And you were disappointed. You were in early on the disappointment on Fetterman.
Yeah. I mean, the most enthusiasm I ever had for the guy was, I get it if you don't want to vote for Oz. I totally get that. But this guy, I don't know. And then that I don't know was proven right.
It's pretty accurate. Yeah.
In volume.
But it had to be him over Oz. I mean, if it was Oz, we'd be one more nut. I mean, Fetterman's awful, but Oz was one more whack job sucking Trump's dick.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. Although now I guess Fetterman's cool with Oz and wants to see him get an appointment. I mean, it really makes you feel like, oh, it just is a club that I'm not in. All right.
But he wears shorts.
Okay. He wears shorts and a hoodie.
Great wardrobe. It's relatable.
wear what you want. It seems to offend some other people. But
Well, I actually was on board with him disrespecting the inauguration by wearing shorts. Like that was, if it was a different person, like I knew enough about him to know this isn't coming from the place I would think it would be coming from, but just the general concept of disrespecting Trump by wearing shorts to his inauguration is great. I know that's not what he meant to do, but it is what he did.
I think he does it because he doesn't know how to wear long pants. He can't.
Bizarre.
He doesn't know how to pull up pants. They got to be loose to get over everything, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
I was in the Senate building once. I wore jeans and a T-shirt.
How did they respond to that?
They dealt with it. They didn't. I didn't get any commentary one way or another. But I'm wearing jeans and a T-shirt. I don't. I mean, other people dressed up, and all power to them. But yeah, it was for a campaign about net neutrality. We presented a petition to Mitch McConnell's office because he was running the show then, and so we presented him with a petition of 50,000 signatures for net neutrality. And yeah, I wore jeans and a T-shirt. Oh, he didn't care. They were nice. He wasn't even there, and his people were nice to us. Yeah. And I wanted to, I mean, I was frustrated by the whole thing, just that it even had gotten to this point. I just wanted to go tell him to come out of his shell and accept this, but you couldn't do that. But I wore jeans and a T-shirt. I'm like I don't
you, you were
know.
You
isn't yeah, that the I'm spirit me. Of our country is to be right. free to choose what you wear.
Not if you're coming in from Ukraine, you put a fucking suit on for that man.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't, you'll be questioned by Marjorie Taylor Greene's moronic husband, or boyfriend, rather.
Was that who that was?
Yeah, it was her. It was her boyfriend.
It was her guy. Okay.
And he's the same idiot that just the other day said to the guy from Ireland, "How do you feel about Rosie O'Donnell moving into Ireland?" And Trump said, "Great question."
Yeah,
that's what he said. That's what that dunce said.
And it fell so flat. He had to go, "I was joking," like because it was like the literally the guy was either I don't know he's the prime minister of I don't know what the positions are, but he's some guy. He was just like. He was literally, this is so fucking stupid. I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. Like, they were like, have you heard of, do you know Rosie O'Donnell? He was like, he was just like so uncomfortable because he's like, why are we talking
why
about
we
this?
Because that guy's dumb and he's sitting next to, that reporter's dumb and the guy who's sitting next to the guy from Ireland is dumber.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did your people not brief you on the fact that our shithead dumb president had a petty celebrity feud with a talk show host 20 fucking years ago and people are still talking about it for some reason? That's why this dumb joke happened?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry you didn't get up to speed on the Rosie O'Donnell Trump debate
but thanks for being
2000. Two or whatever.
We would all be a little bit better off if somebody just had the patience to go be Elon Musk's friend. If somebody would just go,
well,
be
isn't
his
that Donald
friend.
Trump? Is that the guy having the patience right now? Just the
even
wrong
he's
guy?
Like, get this
I'm not
guy
sure.
out of here.
I mean, I think. A little bit, but if somebody was just a genuine friend to the guy, and then he would just go on to the next whatever's going to distract the billionaire thing that's not completely gutting all the institutions in this country, then we'd be a little better off.
Do you blame Grimes? If Grimes had stuck it out with him, maybe we wouldn't be here.
I don't know. Who's Grimes?
Grimes is one of the mothers of his children.
Mm. Oh, I see. Okay, very good.
She's a singer. She's a musical artist. And
is she the most recent person that said?
No.
Who's the most recent woman?
She's the one. She's the mother of the kid that he's trotting all over the place.
Of X?
X, yeah. She's the mama.
The mouthy kid?
Yeah. Yeah, she's that kid's mom, and she's the one that was like, had to go on Twitter and say, hey, there's a serious medical situation with my son and Elon Musk will not answer his phone, like calls or texts. Can someone near him please tell him that our son needs medical attention or whatever the fuck was happening? I don't think we ever found out what the problem was, but
I don't think we should.
No, it's not our business, but it was ridiculous that she had to go on a public forum to be like, can someone tap this moron on the shoulder and tell him that his son needs to go to the doctor?
He's too busy saying Mike Myers isn't being funny.
Which is important.
A joke. You were on SNL. You understand what the premise of the program is.
Yeah.
But making fun of him, I guess.
What was that event he was at where it was some international event and he was just sitting there and nobody wanted to talk to him?
Is that right?
he was just looking around and nobody would talk to him. And then I'm like, oh, he's just doing this because nobody would be his. He ruined Twitter because nobody would be his friend.
Right.
And now he's ruining everything else because no one will be his friend.
It happened again at the it's not the State of the Union, but whatever the address that Trump gave recently. Did you see Musk is sitting there. He's like, he doesn't know anybody. He's like, they sat him in some weird area where like he's amongst people that he has no fucking connection with. And he's just kind of like, he's so awkwardly just like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know. Who do I stand?
That might have been the video, actually. Okay. That might be the video I'm referring to. I think in my head, I wanted to think it was an international thing because I just want to. Well, I really want to hold on to the hope that the rest of the world.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened to him hundreds of times.
Yeah, right.
Everywhere he goes, people don't want to sit with him.
I mean, the choice between him and Trump, who do you sit and talk to?
Oof. I mean, Trump.
Yeah, I'd pick Trump.
Would be more entertaining to talk to.
Or he would ignore you. Either way, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I would pick Trump because I think at the end of the day, he just really doesn't stand for anything, just wants to be liked. So yes. I would pitch him on universal health care and tell him about how we're going to name it after him.
And then
we'd have it.
We'd have it.
100%. And I'd say, hey, I know it's annoying that you have a Trump card, but just we have universal health care now. Just ignore the name. We got it. Right. So
Trump care.
We'll take the win.
It's crazy.
We would take the win.
It's crazy they haven't thought of that because they've spent years ranting and raving about Obamacare. It's like, just take the same thing. First of all, Obama didn't call it that, but they called it that to try to pin a bad thing on him that turned out to be popular with people because it was better than what we had before. But anyway.
There are some morons that think, Obamacare's bad. I have ACA.
Right.
Like, dumb.
That's what that is.
That's what it is.
But because unlike Trump, he didn't put his name all over it, like on the card.
Now go buy your lottery ticket. Go buy your scratcher. That's my insult. Did you hear it, Garen?
Garen, did you hear that one?
Did you hear my insult, Garen? You didn't laugh like you usually do. What happened?
Well, I sometimes will buy a scratcher, so I felt hurt.
I will not buy a scratcher, but I am the dummy that will buy the lottery ticket if it gets to a certain amount.
Right. I did the same thing.
I'm that moron. Oh, I got to get in on this one.
Yeah.
When it's statistically,
because why not?
Yeah.
Well, it's statistically harder to win. You should buy it when it's the lowest.
I understand that, but
you're not going to win either way.
Not going to win either way.
Do whatever you want to do.
But what if that's the time you win?
You know, who knows?
You got to play to win, Ron. You're a big lottery guy. You know that.
I get a scratch off ticket like once a year, usually from my grandmother. Like, or something like
Christmas
that.
Christmas time?
My mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then usually, this is what my family does now, because I don't always get to go in for the holidays. So they will buy the tickets, and they enjoy it. So they'll scratch them off over Zoom. This is your ticket, and if you win, we'll Venmo you, and then they scratch off the ticket.
Oh, great.
We watch with enthusiasm.
It would be so funny if one did win, and they very obviously were like, no, it's not a winner.
Sorry,
Ron. Back into my pocket. Sorry, Ron.
You see your family in a wee, they're all wearing crowns. My mom used to do that, but my mom has since passed away, but that was her big Christmas thing, and the stockings, you would get a couple of scratchers. So I guess it's been, my mom died in 2017. That was the last, so I have not done a scratcher since 2017, because that was the only time I ever got them. My mom bought them.
It's a mom thing.
It is a mom thing.
Yeah.
It's very much my mom and my brother were very much chasing the lottery. That's the dream, that they will win that, and that will, you know, change their life. And all that really does is suck money out of their wallet.
That's only worked out for a small amount of people.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, hey, buy the ticket. Why not? I mean, you know, if you don't buy the ticket, you don't get to take the ride, maybe. But but it's not a retirement plan.
No, it is not. Ron Placone is here. He's dead. Now, Ron, we have not learned, and maybe you're not comfortable saying it. What is your wife's name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin. All right.
Yeah.
Some people don't like to divulge such information. Where did you meet Caitlin?
She doesn't own it, I don't think.
It's the only Caitlin.
She's the only
Now we
one.
Know who you're married to.
Yeah. We met here. We met in California.
Doing, like, on the applications or?
Swiping on Tinder.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
On Tinder, of all.
We're a Tinder success story. And it's a good that we found out they pay for weddings right after ours. It was good. We nailed it with the timing.
Wait, is that what? True?
They will pay for your wedding if you're a Tinder success story.
Never heard that. That's
I've never
crazy.
Heard that either.
I never heard, but after you guys got married.
Oh yeah, we didn't learn about it until later, and we
Does
thought,
"Okay,
oh,
Cupid
man.
Have that."
I don't know. I mean,
look
yeah,
up.
They
look up
what a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still around, but apparently it was a thing, and we thought, "Oh," because we even made a little fun thing about it. We were gonna copy like all of our exchanges and then make a little board of it. I don't think we ended up doing it, but we did delete it, the app, together.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we like deleted
don't need
it
this anymore.
Together, and it's so wild that my profile was successful because it was the laziest profile anyone's ever made. Like my profile was just a picture of me and then just all my interest with a period after it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I literally just had coffee, cannoli, punk rock music, peas and prosciutto, but only Penny if Jimmy's coming over. You know, I just had all of my interest in a period, and that was it. And yeah, I guess it worked out.
Caitlin's in on it.
Caitlin was in.
Well, you do have a wonderful, beautiful head of hair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you.
That's
yeah.
Nice and thick.
It's receding, so I'm just holding on to it as long as I can, and when it's gone, it's gone.
I always say I got a lot of beach, but then thick as a forest. And that's, you're very simple.
You got a good head of hair.
Yeah, but beach, a lot of beach. A lot of beach. A lot of forehead, a lot of receding. But then look at this fucking hair.
Yeah.
And then a little guy right there. A little yarmulke of skin showing up there. Yeah, a little glacier.
Little glacier.
Right? Little something floating right there. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, look at this fucking thickness. I said, look at it. Thank you.
I want to see you grow it out. I'll look at it when you grow it out.
I can't grow it out. I don't look like an
I want to see a Kevin Cronin... curly fro.
Wait, Kevin Cronin, like circa 1980s?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I imagine your hair would look like if you grew it out.
No, it looks like Mark Lynn Baker from Perfect Strangers.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
so
that
not
is...
quite as curly as...
No. No.
These references are flying over Ron's head because he's young.
I am young cousin man. Larry, identical.
No.
Okay. If it grew out.
Wow. I mean, that's a good look.
I like Mark Lynn Baker.
Yeah. So why are you so against his hair?
It's not 1987.
I mean, but a rebrand, Jimmy. A rebrand.
It's coming back.
Guys, we don't want to see me with that hair.
I see you in polo shirts, some khakis.
I wear that. Yes, you do. Yes, you've seen that. You may see that next time you see me.
With an SNL 15 t-shirt.
Hang
crouching.
On. Oh, fucking headshot. The worst goddamn thing I ever did in my entire life. And I once killed a family while drunk driving.
Oh, God.
But that headshot's worse.
Yeah.
Well, we agree on that, right?
The family, but
yes, what I said yes, about, of course, Jimmy.
I said that for humor.
Okay.
In case somebody's like, did Jimmy really kill a family while drunk driving? I don't know. That's the real answer. I don't know.
This is getting dark.
It's possible.
I'll leave that out of the notes.
Good call.
That's very possible. By the way, Never Not Notes is now, we now link that on our website, right?
Yeah. Never Not Notes is on there. Never Not DB. There was some confusion.
Yeah.
We moved the links that were at the bottom of the website. We thought we were presenting them more obviously by putting them on our history page. Some folks are having trouble finding them.
Yeah.
So if you go to the history page on NeverNotFunny.com, you will see that right there is a little banner. Talks about NeverNotDB and NeverNotNotes.
Both great great resources for the history of this program.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. We thought we were doing a good thing. That didn't mean we didn't get emails telling us to go fuck ourselves because we apparently didn't refresh a web page properly.
Yeah.
You... Gladys Kravitz assholes. Ron, we have a lot of Charlies, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, I feel you. Yeah.
And they're all in Colorado.
They're all
in Colorado.
Our web guy's in Colorado, is he not?
He is, Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff with a G, not a fan. Not that spelling. Ron, you moved here to do standing-up comedy, mm-hmm. and do you still travel as a comic, or is it mostly just local these days?
I still travel some, not as much as I used to. I did Edinburgh in 2023, so I started doing a little more international stuff since then. So yeah, I try to just do a couple chunks throughout the year.
All right.
But yeah, usually it's mostly just weekend stuff and then a couple bigger things. So
let me ask you the more important question, because I want this to be the compliment that it is. Your voice is terrific. Did you ever get the radio gig? I know you read the article on how to get the radio gig.
Yeah, right?
Did you ever get it? Because you should with that voice.
Well, as far as a traditional radio thing, I was just born too late, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, by the time I was entering the workforce, it was like 2007, 2008.
And here comes iHeartRadio.
And sailed. Yeah. I mean, it had just completely sailed. So, I mean, I did a bunch of stuff in, you know, the podcasting space and whatnot. I feel like this is the new... This is it now. Mm-hmm. So
is it?
I think so. I think.
I don't know. Is it? are we on in the morning? Are we living my real dream?
For some people.
Yeah, I guess we are.
I mean, some of the people of I know course. Who still do that, it's almost like a road comic's life, except you get up early. Because a lot of those guys, they're moving every couple years, and they're doing the job of five people.
It's not the glorious life, the glamorous life that it once was. Was perceived.
Yeah, maybe it never was. It just seemed like it.
I think Kevin and Bean or those guys. Like, I think if you had that consistent, thing, you know, Steve and Gary, that sort of thing. But,
but they probably always all felt like
any moment.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Well, not just the instability, but just like there's great perks to be. You know, if you're in a major market and you're on a big station, get to go to a lot of fun concerts and you interview interesting people all the time. But it's still like everybody has that thing. I think everybody, especially in show business, has that thing where they're always looking up to the person above them being like, well, yeah, I got here, but look at what Howard Stern's doing. Look at what Carolla's doing. Look at what whoever, you know, there's always somebody.
Are you cool if I don't look at what Carolla's doing?
Yeah, I want you to listen to it every day, Jimmy.
His anti-vax bullshit.
No, he's doing great stuff.
He's doing great. Every one of his posts is fucking nuttier than the next.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, like, I do.
I mean, we've never asked Kevin or Bean that question, but I imagine even at their height, they were probably feeling a little bit like, why could we be national?
Why aren't we national?
Why are we just,
I agree. Or I don't agree. I mean, I agree with what you're saying.
I'm hoping they didn't feel that way, but I mean,
they are they're two-time Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
You know, they won.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I'm sure they had great times and probably feel good about their careers, but, in the heat of it, again, I don't know what they got paid. I hope they got paid well, but
I was told they got $1 an hour.
That's not great. That's low.
I don't know anything about what
people get paid.
It's
probably
not
even legal.
There aren't any real national DJs anymore, right? I mean, Howard Stern excluded.
But that's on.
Well, I would say
satellite.
Bob and Tom are the club.
Are they? I didn't know.
They used to be in like 100 plus markets. They're probably in 75 now. But that's still.
But are there other?
What about Seacrest? Does he do
that's iHeartRadio, which is just kind of syndication. It's not really, I mean, it's, I know I'm splitting hairs, but it's a little different. Mm. Those guys out of Grand Rapids, they're decent radio show. They call themselves Free Beer and Hot Wings,
right.
Which is, let's agree, a horrible fucking name.
That really
you're having trouble saying it.
But those guys are, they're good guys, and they're in a nice handful of markets.
Mm. But we don't have a Howard Stern. Really anymore. Right. I don't know.
There was Man Cow. He was doing it for a while. I don't know what happened to him.
Hopefully he fell off a fucking cliff. Guy was, it was horrible.
Well, they might be the, like him and what's that other guy that was here? I never remember his name.
Tom Likas.
Yes, him.
Doing great.
They're kind of like the last class. I feel like there hasn't been a new, I mean, I guess Ryan Seacrest is the closest.
I guess
he's not.
Radio's kind of to Ron's point. It's everybody's at podcasting now.
Yeah.
I was just giving him, you know.
Make no mistake, if K-Rock calls tomorrow, I'm in. I'll do overnights.
You know what's crazy? I think it's a temporary station on SiriusXM. It's the, you know, that Caller Daddy, is that what it's called, the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that woman has her own
Unwell.
Channel. Yeah, I guess her conglomerate, her network is called Unwell Radio or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, or maybe that's just the name of the station. But I listened to her a little bit because, you know, she's millennial. She plays a lot of stuff that I like, pop music from like the last 25 years. And I realized, like, if we were bigger, like a Never Not Funny station that's just all like the music that you reference constantly on this show of that era, I realized that's actually a great way to package a certain type of stuff because there's an audience for that. And then it's more specific than just being like, it's not just a 90s channel. It's not just an 80s channel. It's more specific than that. And it spans decades.
Yes.
It's not just like you would play something from the 70s, but you'd also play something from the 80s. You also might play something current that you like.
But 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
And that's what this and that's what this station is doing. But it's like you listen to it. Like, I've never heard her podcast, but I listen to the station. I'm like, I immediately understand who she is because of the music.
You don't want to listen to her podcast.
No, I don't. But I do like the music she's picking because it's kind of like, it's just kind of the stuff that, you know, it reminds me of when Zoe was little. And like, it's that kind of sort of whatever. Pop from 10, 12 years ago, a lot like that. And but I feel like that's a better way to program a music station because it's like, oh, there's a personality to it. It's not just because like 80s on 8, I listen to it, but it's like it's just the same fucking 80s songs that everybody plays. But like you would not pick a lot of those, and then you would pick some that they don't play because they're deeper cuts. And I just think that would be more interesting.
Give me a meeting.
Well, I'm
in.
Well, everything you just described, that's why I like Little Steven's station, the Underground Garage.
Yeah, my son likes that
too. That is such a cool station, and there's so many. And it is. It's the jock who has a personality, who has
like a point of view.
They're curating this music for a reason. You know who has a really good show on there? Drew Carey's show is great.
Is that true?
Oh, wow.
His show is great on Underground Garage.
Interesting.
He has a really good. And then, of course, Little Steven, that guy's an encyclopedia. I love that station.
When is Drew Carey on? Is it... I know you can listen to it on the app.
It's nights, and then he repeats as well. I usually only listen to it when I'm in my car, but I always, whenever his show's on, I never switch it. He has an amazing show. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, and I'm not good about exploring other stations on SiriusXM. I kind of just stick to the ones I already know about, but... so maybe they are doing more stuff like this. I'm just not aware of it like that. I didn't never heard of the Drew Carey thing, but it would be, I know that that happened because SiriusXM bought her company or whatever.
For?
$140 million.
$140 million.
Yeah. So obviously there's a synergy there, but I don't know. It doesn't cause them anything really to say, hey, do you want to like program a station for a couple of months?
They've given her $140 million.
No, not her. I mean, if we were doing it, like we would do it for the publicity. I shouldn't have said that publicly.
No. Right. You do not speak for me.
Matt would do it for publicity.
I would need, and hear me out, $141 million. I need to get just $1 more than than the Filth Talk show.
Yeah, she swears a lot. Because she's in the bumpers, and I'm like, it's unnecessary efforts. I mean, I'm not a prude. Like, I swear a lot, too. But it's like, you're adding nothing to this. And it's like filling in for where comedy's supposed to be, I think.
Her show is it's all about sex, too, if I'm not mistaken, right? A lot of it is. The program?
From what I...
Have you listened to it?
I have not, but I've seen clips.
Yeah, I've seen the clips, too. And it's not for me.
Yeah, right. Have your fun.
Yeah, have your fun. Exactly. And it seems to be going very well.
So, is there not a thing where, like on Spotify or maybe iTunes or something, where I can just, as if it were Facebook, create a station of music that I like, and then I can say anybody can look at that.
Well, yeah, you
can make a playlist, but it's not the same as just having a
station. And you want somebody, the chatter. It's almost like what we talk about with Jimmy's Records and Tapes, where that thing that Bean was on through Amazon, what was that thing called, where you could do a live radio show?
I feel like there used to be more of that, like 10, 20. Like there was that. Remember Live 365?
Yeah,
where people would make their own radio station.
I don't, but I love the sound of it.
Was that the one that Jackie Cation's podcast actually started on a thing like that?
Really?
I forget what it was called, but yeah, way back, I didn't know that. Like 2006 or 7.
Amp.
Amp. Yes,
it was called Amp. Yes. That was a thing where we could have five different radio shows all at the same time because you get the your listeners.
Yeah.
And it's like, come and listen. Here's my link. Come and listen to our radio show from 7 to 8. Take calls, blah, 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 blah. Mm.
And do you remember that? Am I making that up about Jackie? Because I feel like when she started Dork Forest.
I couldn't remember the name of his movie. I just looked it up. I don't remember things.
Her podcast was live. Like when she started doing it, you would go there and it would be live, but then it would also come out as a podcast.
I did not know that.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
I didn't know that.
Don't remember the name of the platform that was on, but it was one of those things. It was like this whole era of before podcasting really took root. It was like people were just trying all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah, it was sort of the in-between time where people still appreciated what radio was and wanted to still have it. And they said, well, we have the internet. And now, I mean, it bums me out that's sort of dying completely because I feel like the younger generation, and when I say that, I just mean anything younger than millennial, which is me, they don't they've never experienced that. Like, they just don't know it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool that your kid listens to Underground Garage. I think that's awesome.
And he does like it.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a lot of other people his age who feel that way, but I don't know if there is or not.
I don't think there is.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably not.
Based on when he talks about his friends, that what they listen to. Yeah.
But, you know, there's always an opportunity when people get a little older to start discovering things that are not. You know, I think when you're
true.
Most children and kids are just listening to whatever is current, and then they get a little older, like, oh, what's the older stuff? Like, but although, also, having said that, most parents also expose their kids to whatever they like, and so they have some awareness of whatever is older.
Just I thought my son's favorite band was Foreigner for many years. It is not.
No.
He does not care for Foreigner.
But you open the door for him to understand that there was music in the past that might be interesting.
That yes, and he is...
And then he walked through that door and found some things you never would have listened
went
to.
Went down a hallway.
And slammed the door on dad's interests. No, thank you, Father. I found my own things.
You were correct.
But
Jackie's podcast started on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Blog Talk Radio.
That's
blog.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for this, guys.
It's the letter game, starting with the letter game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the letter and end with the name. It's the never not funny letter game.
All right, we're a horror and or sci-fi. We're trying to match Elliot, which means Ron goes first. Ron, the letter is D. If you match Elliot, you win $5. So a lot is on the line. I have to tighten the... Uh-oh, my mic is loose.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
My mic is loose.
Ron is... This is good.
I've been
good
thinking about this. I've been thinking about this. So it's a horror movie, starts with the letter D, and that's all we get, right?
That's correct. Horror or sci-fi.
Yeah.
Horror or sci-fi.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going with Don Leslie.
It should be a movie, honestly. I like the idea of a female mob boss. That's a good idea for a movie. I'm not fucking around right now.
I think that's been done.
What? Amelia Perez?
Where the what?
Wasn't Griselda? Isn't that what that is?
Didn't J-Lo do something?
Is it called Griselda? Or is that the cat from Cats?
Wait, are you thinking about the thing with Sofia Vergara?
Yeah.
Is that a TV show or a movie?
It was
or
a show.
A miniseries.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I think it started on a blog.
I'm going to take a shot in the dark. And by the way, I'll preface this by saying I'm the worst movie trivia.
You're the worst movie.
I'm the worst movie. But yeah, I'm the worst movie trivia person.
What does that mean? What does it mean?
Elliot's bad too, so you might line up with him perfectly.
Okay, all right. So, shot in the dark. I'm gonna go Dreamcatcher.
Oh,
Dreamcatcher. Yeah,
Dreamcatcher.
Good.
That's what's in your mind.
I mean that is something that catches guess, it catches actually. Things in the mind. So it's kind of apropos. All right. Well, are you ready for mine?
I don't know what Dreamcatcher is. I mean, I know what a Dreamcatcher is. I don't know the movie.
It's Stephen King. It's horror sci-fi.
Who's in it? James Cromwell?
No, it's from the early 2000s.
So then it's not James Cromwell?
2003.
Who was Punisher?
Which one?
The
Dolph Lundgren?
The movie version.
I'm told it's 2003.
One. That would be Dolph. Well, no. there's
Thomas Jane.
Different ones.
Thomas Jane is in it. And there's aliens.
I'm out.
I think they come out of your asshole.
So I'm back
no
in.
No way. Yeah.
I'm back in.
In the book, it came
turns out I didn't know that's
ass.
What that movie was about.
I didn't either. I've never seen it. I thought it was just about
Native American spirits or something.
Nope. It's about catching people in your ass. Cool. And then letting them out, apparently. All right. What is your guess? Matt Balkan?
It took me a while to get to it, but I feel like a big one that I'm just going to say just so that no one else says it and I regret not saying it. Dune.
Dune, leaning on the sci-fi more than the horror.
Yeah.
Dune.
And I will not specify which one because I want to keep my options open.
That's fair.
It's like doubling down. I get two.
Tripling down.
I am going to go with Dracula.
Yeah.
Dracula.
I'm going to go with the classic of the vampire Dracula.
That was my second.
Now, here's what we do. Now we do this.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Garen sucks. Hey, Garen.
Yes.
What's going on? Keep in mind.
What?
I'm not interested.
Are you rebooting?
Go ahead. What do you got?
Did you guys all finish Pop Culture Jeopardy yet?
No.
No.
Okay.
I'm not even into the semis yet. I'm still.
No, we haven't gotten that far, Garen.
We talked about the music league I was in. Mm-hmm. That week ended. and I got first place.
Hey!
Hey!
For the Janet Jackson song?
For Janet Jackson.
Explain to Ron what a music league is.
It's basically, there's categories every week, and everybody submits a song, and then everyone votes on them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I didn't think it would do that, because it's, you know, really mainstream or whatever. Not that this group is.
What were some of the other songs that you were up against?
How many people are in this thing?
So the category 10? Was songs with one word titles.
Songs
right?
with one
You're
word
You're in
titles.
This too, Elliot?
I am not in.
No, he's
not. You were invited, but you didn't do it.
That's right. I turned it down.
Oh, you were invited, though, and yeah, you turned it down. Mm-hmm. And you were not invited.
I was invited.
You were also invited and turned it down.
And I did. I forgot to respond to the email in time.
Oh. That was the only particular, just one word songs?
Just for this week.
For this week.
Yeah.
And this sounds like something a lot of fun that I would really like to be a part of.
It does
of.
Sound fun.
Well, we talked, you know, remember we talked a lot about, but we were going to start one, and it was going to be us four, and then some other Never Not Funny friends of the show, mm-hmm. and things like that. And we never did it because I
recognize that. But so somebody reached out to you guys,
yes.
and okay. invited you to join
yeah.
their league.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sounds like you're a little bent out of shape. You're a little hurt.
I mean,
you're not a music guy, are you?
Yeah.
It's not one of your major interests.
Mm, you know, I have a feeling that I probably landed in spam or something that my invite.
Maybe.
I just didn't.
You're hard to get in touch with.
In fairness, I have not checked my P.O. box in a while.
That explains it. Yeah, these all went out by mail.
Oh,
certified
mail. Oh, damn, that's on me then.
I had a guy come with like a scroll and a horn. And it was very
very official.
Yeah. It was royal. All right, really quick, I'll rattle them off. So mine was If.
By Janet Jackson.
And you won.
I got first. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right.
Hurricane by a band called Planes.
I don't know that song nor that band.
Car Built to Spill.
Oh, classic.
Loves it. Rob Bacone loves
it.
That got second.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Tied for second with Hurricane. Uh-huh. This is the order that they were
in. Okay.
Mint by Kathleen Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
Think.
By Aretha Franklin.
Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
That's a big one.
That person should be kicked out of the league.
Now, I don't know if it's Yoga or Joga, but Bjork. Knowing that it's Bjork, it's probably Yoga.
Yoga.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Great song. One by U2. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Toledo, Elvis Costello. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Richard Hawley. And Evil by Savages.
Okay.
And I got first.
First of all, congratulations. Second of all, I'm going to amend what I said. I'm glad I'm not part of it.
That's what it's always going to be like, though, because
I don't want to hear any of those
there's
songs.
Always going to be people who are trying to. I mean, look, I appreciate it on most of the time, like, because I did one of these too. Like, I want songs I've never heard of before because I want to be exposed to new things. But then the flip side of that is usually I don't care for them or care about them. So if it's all stuff you already know, then it's like almost pointless. I mean, just the voting makes sense.
I like listening to songs I already know.
Okay. But you want to hear Aretha Franklin's Think again?
I don't. I said that person should be kicked out of the league.
I don't think.
And the person that did U2.
I don't need to hear
they're
U2
on
song.
Fucking
and
notice.
That was my favorite. Like, I loved that song when it came out. I loved that album, and that song like was meant a lot to a teenage me, a heartbroken me in 11th grade or whatever it was. But I don't need to hear it ever again.
I'm one of these people that do not get U2.
Okay.
Like, to the point where it's like, I was talking to one of my college buddies recently about it. He goes, I can't remember if you just don't get U2 at all or if you're obsessed with U2. And I'm like, oh, yeah, don't get U2.
You don't get them.
I don't get them.
My wife doesn't either. What is it about them that you don't, it doesn't click for you?
It just does not click. Like, the songs. I mean there's Sunday Bloody Sunday's a banger. Like, there's a few exceptions. But overall, I just don't, and it's not any type. I mean, some of my best friends love U2, and I just don't get it. I don't get Fish, but I don't get U2. And
you're a punk rock guy, right?
Yeah. So, well, like, that's the thing. They're always like, well, early U2, and I listened to early U2, and I'm like, yeah, this sounds like if Joe Strummer didn't care to me, you know? Like, I just, it's not for me. Teach their own.
That's one of those things. I like them, but I totally get if people don't. I'm not mad. I'm like, that's totally fair. Like, they're pretty middle of the road for most of their discography. It's kind of like, yeah, that's music. So, like, I like it, but I get that other people don't.
I would say Sunday Bloody Sunday, New Year's Day, and then and I love you. I like you two a lot. I like them a lot. But I think those two, and then it's a drop off to the next level of songs for me. Mm. But I think those two are flawless musical songs. Mm-hmm. And that you could hear on my hot playlist over at Amp. All right, well, Garen, congratulations on your big win. It sounds like competition's weak, and you're going to win.
This week so far is going drastically different.
What is the category this week?
Yeah, what's the...
Your current jam.
Your current jam.
Jam.
And yeah, what did you pick?
I picked a song called Lie with Wolves by the Dogs on Shepherd Street, who I'm actually seeing at a queer house party on Sunday. And I was like, I'm going to show these dudes that I picked their song. And now I can't because right now I'm
Look,
in last.
Look, you came in last. Look at this. Nobody cares for you.
These people took the time to listen to the song and decided they didn't like it.
Said no.
Yeah. So that won't be
I think that if I may, when you see them, tell them the song titles are too long as well as their band name.
They do have a long...
It's a lot of words.
Long, but that song is... Oh, man.
No, nobody likes it, Garen.
I spent 10 or 12 weeks overthinking every pick I did when I did one of these leagues. But I think just from the little bit of evidence you've given us, this is a league where you need to go mainstream. You can't pick these like obscure things. They're not going to connect.
You can't go house party.
If Janet Jackson's winning, then you got to stick to top 40.
Janet Jackson win?
If it was a one word song, one. I'm going Aqualung, Jethro Tull.
Great song.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
great song. Got that flute comes right at you.
Yeah. Mm.
Ian Anderson. Fuck, they got a new album coming out.
Do they?
Yes, Garrett, I don't talk stupidly.
It's true, you don't.
I'm fact-based. You know, I'm this, nothing else. Everything else is based on headlines and that I don't know anything about the story. You know that. Well, Garrett, what's your D-movie guess?
I had three written down, and neither of them were chosen. So I am...
None of them, maybe?
Neither of them. What?
He's an English major. Don't question him on the number of quantitative, whatever type of word that is.
Would you, Matt Belknap, without being a dickhead, if somebody used the word neither,
it means two.
How many would you think?
100%.
Yeah. Okay, very
neither means two.
All right.
My fingers are steepled right now. You want to come at me with this?
Yes, internet certificate. all right. Since neither were chosen, which one
I'm
did you
go
choose
with
of the three?
The middle one, which is The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Interesting. Mm. Do you want to see my middle one? It's right there.
We'll see you next week, guys.
All right. Well, listen, let's check in with Elliot Hochberg. He's behind Video Village there. What's going on over at the Familiar? Anything we got to tell Ron Placone about?
At the Familiar.
Or in your life, Elliot.
Sure.
whatever. Isn't your entire life in the Familiar?
It's not always there.
It's everything you do.
I don't know.
It's all there.
It's loft or downstairs. Those are the two options.
That's the name of our new show, Loft and Downstairs.
It's not good.
We'll workshop it.
Give it to that band for a song title.
Yeah, there you go.
It's no female Don, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. You know Don Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So I visited my urologist yesterday.
How's he doing?
He's doing great, actually.
Good.
You won't remember this, but in 2019, when I had my big kidney stone thing, I had to go get the surgery and blah, blah, blah. You may recall my describing him. He is still fit. This guy's
in good shape.
Honestly, fuck this guy. He's in such good shape.
Are you telling us to fuck him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to you and him.
I have to.
I'm in. Now that I know there's aliens up assholes, I'm willing to probe.
I even said something to him during our I didn't get what's the word I'm looking for?
The massage you were looking for?
Yeah, I didn't get the massage. No, when you go to the doctor and they look you over, what's the word?
Exam.
Thank you. We didn't do an exam. We just had a conversation.
Okay.
And I said, "You still look great." I said to him, and he goes, "Oh, thank you. I mean, I still fit in the same scrubs." So clearly for him, he must have gained some weight or something from his perspective.
But otherwise, you don't think so.
No. He looks great. So in the waiting room, it was full. And to get an idea of how old the people were in there, which this is no surprise. I'm going to the urologist.
Mm-hmm.
There was a German guy, a Polish guy, a Spanish guy. And
I walked into a bar.
Garrett.
And they talked about how...
were they wearing flags? How did you know that?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Here's the thing. So the one guy says...
Observation.
The one guy says, "Well, I'm from Germany, so blah, 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 blah." And the guy goes, "Well, I'm originally from Poland."
Why like, is that happening? Why are they... Okay.
And they say, nobody has conversations anymore. Everybody's on their phone. So they're complaining about kids on their phone.
Okay.
They of course, asked each other about the American-born doctor who happens to have a Persian last name. Oh, is he from Iran? So that was another thing. And then after I finished my exam as I was leaving, a man was crying out in desperate pain.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, I don't like that. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't as funny as me. He was ah! And at one point he goes, no, that hurts!
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
poor
that
man.
Poor guy. Yeah. So, that's my story.
That's unpleasant to even hear.
We've been there.
Yeah.
Even secondhand, I don't like it.
No. I was, yeah. I felt for this gentleman. I don't know which one it was. I didn't.
You don't know if it was the German, the Pole, the third guy. I don't remember what the third guy was.
He didn't tell us the third guy. He
Spanish.
To Spanish.
Oh, you did tell us that. Yeah. My apologies.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was making paella in the corner.
And by the way, no, he was speaking Spanish on his phone when he wasn't supposed to be on the phone in the waiting room.
There's a no phone rule in the waiting room.
Yeah, but nobody said anything to him. You had mentioned earlier about, was it today or recently, about somebody being rude about their appointment.
That was on the last episode. I told the story about that guy coming with weird energy into the waiting room.
Yeah. So in this waiting room, no fewer than six people came through who were either late or were coming to reschedule. Which is weird to me that you come in to reschedule when you know you're not going to be at your appointment today. Because they all had appointments within like a half hour. So you came in to, I don't know. But is this a thing now that everybody's doing?
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it is. Because maybe getting on the phone with people is annoying. It is annoying.
Yeah.
But you really want to deal with the parking?
Do I want to? No,
you're talking. Office.
By the way, $27, no validation.
Oh, what?
Wait,
what?
Wow. Yeah, Santa Monica.
$27,
no validation.
That's like Disneyland parking. That's insane.
It's close. Wow. They know that you're not going to walk very far, so
fuck.
They get you.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I was only there for like an hour, maybe.
That's a hit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was a nut punch.
So wait, was that the hourly rate?
I guess it must have been, or just $27 flat.
Just flat. You get in. Wow.
It's probably one of those. It's a dollar every 12 minutes, 27 max.
Yeah,
or whatever
it could be.
I would just figure out a way to stay there all day. If that's
right.
It's like, I'm going to make the most out of this. I'm going to go walk along the coast, get something to eat, mm-hmm. hit my favorite spots,
yep,
and then I'll be out a minute and a half before you close.
Get your money's worth. Why not?
Here. 90 seconds.
It's funny because I used to avoid parking in that structure.
Mm-hmm.
And this time I was like, you know, why am I? Irma was with me because we were going to go somewhere else afterwards. She was like, why are we going to go wander around, find some parking place? Now I know why.
Yeah.
Because clearly it's always been expensive.
But sometimes it is just like, fuck it. I just got to park and be done with it.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's an expensive. Fuck it.
Yes.
I'm circling a bunch of times. Now that I'm going to find out where that is.
Yeah.
I hear it's in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
All right, give us the fans. Now, Ron, what's happening here? Ellie's about to list the fans' guesses for the D movie.
Okay.
They are also trying to match Elliot. This does not affect the financial aspect of this game. We are waiting for Elliot's answers for that. These are the fans, and theirs go.
You don't win money. Don't get fame.
How are you on time here?
I'm great.
Yeah, because we got spots too, right?
Obscure sometimes. You can match for bragging rights. What do fans think of?
All right, go. Shoot.
All right.
And rifle through these.
Sure. Dead Alive is the number 8, I think.
Mm.
Day of the Earth Stood Still.
That was yours, Garen?
Yeah.
That a boy.
Donnie Darko.
Ooh.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. District 9.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
These are really good guesses.
Yeah. Dead Zone.
Oh, I wrote that down.
I had Dead Zone. Yeah, we had just talked about it.
Yeah.
The Great Marty Sheen.
Dracula,
that was mine.
Dawn of the Dead, and I'll throw in, think of Day of the Dead as well if you want.
I had Dawn of the Dead.
And then number one from the fans, Dune.
All right, let's find out what Elliot said and see if we have a winner.
Go ahead, sir. Number 5,
yeah.
Damnation Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Did a whole podcast episode about it.
Okay.
Not with you guys.
You're damn right you didn't.
Number 4, starring one of the Carradines, Death Race 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That's a movie.
Was on a bunch of times on the Z Channel when I was a kid.
All right. What's number 3, though?
Number 3, District 9.
Oh, that's the fans guessed that one.
Number 2.
Yes.
Dracula.
Damn it. So close.
Number 1, and we do not have a winner.
Oh, we don't have a winner.
Dead Zone.
Damn it.
Literally the first thing I wrote down, but when I thought of Dune, I was like, well, Dune is a much better guess than Dead Zone.
I thought, oh, man, when Dracula wasn't chosen, I was like, this guy's a classic guy from way back.
I just thought Dune it looms large in the public consciousness.
Yeah. Sorry.
Congrats to the fans. They got one.
Yeah, I guess.
And I did also think of The Day the Earth Stood Still, but that didn't make my top 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you have E for next week. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Ron, we thank you for being here. Give us the name of the movie again and where people can find it.
Thanks so much for having me. The movie is called Left at Wall. You can get it on Apple TV. You can get it on YouTube Movies. You can get it on Amazon. You can buy it on DVD. Just type in Left at Wall. You'll find it. My website is romplicone.com. There's tour dates, my podcast 1000 with Ron Placone. And yeah, I keep it easy.
And breezy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sleazy.
No. I went positive.
Would have been a weird thing to say.
And sleazy. What? Huh? Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for supporting the program. I apologize for the bums rush here at the end. Yeah. But we got to go. So on behalf of the Pop Culture Beats, looking over there, there's again Cockrell. Behind Video Village, Elliot Hoper, the Honcho Man, Bell Lepper, our new friend, Ron Placone. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.